get rowdy!
I know something stupid we can do!
What's the worst that could happen?
Live from Sacramento.
From Sacramento.
Overlooking the Cap City Freeway and the picturesque parking lot of the Doubletree.
Ooh.
Perched atop the 93rd floor of the iHeartRadio Media Megaplex. It's the Dog and Show Show.
I'm a loving dig dog on a Thursday.
Good morning, Sacramento.
Wow, Dana, score it.
10.
Yes. It is a Thursday, and today we have a very unique, very cute, very lovable, very loyal, very tame, about 4-year-old female dog that we'll showcase today right around 8 o'clock on the Dog and Joe Show Facebook page. Also, blatant bribes coming up at the bottom of each and every hour. Joe will give you the code word, text it back to 200-200. You get $1,000, you go spend it. And we do that each and every weekday, Monday through Friday, 5A, 6P, all the way through Valentine's Day. Also, 8 o'clock today, fourth day of getting your Bon Jovi Brian Adams tickets before they go on sale officially tomorrow at 10 a.m. So we'll do another Bon Jovi jumble. And today is tougher than yesterday's.
So you've cranked it up to expert mode.
Yeah, well, yesterday expert mode goes 9 to 10.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Today I went just 10 and a half. Tomorrow we go 11.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow's not going to be able to be found by anyone.
Going to tap some spines.
Yes, we are tapping all that spine.
Oh, my. I didn't think that was going to get dirty.
Thank you, Dana. I don't know how. Oh, yeah.
With every single thing.
Yeah, tap that spine. That.
Oh, yeah.
Tap it.
God, that sounds even filthier than the real thing.
Sure, that's why I like it.
Yeah.
Hey, did you go out and you tap that ass? Nope. Tapped her spine.
Sounds so dirty.
That's going to get used.
Dana, thank you.
That's going to get used by people.
Then
that's
today,
awful.
Show's not over yet. 8:30, Paul Reiser stopping by.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Not in person, on the phone. He's got a show coming to Sacramento at Crest. We'll give you the details on that. We've had him on before.
He's awesome.
And yeah, he's got big, big news to talk about beyond his show. And he's a good guy. He's funny. And we've had him on before. He's back again. So 8:30, Paul Reiser. And all the other stuff in between. We got a bunch of pigskin pick update and two things with Antonio Brown, plus someone retiring officially tomorrow.
Ooh.
Someone stepping down, and I think a lot of sports or football fans have heard this, but we'll talk about that with pigskin pick update.
He's a big name then, huh?
Yeah, big name, but just comes from a really rotten family.
Okay, what's that about?
Yeah, we'll give you more details. Big name.
I should be catching this, but what are you doing here?
Big name, but
I think he's doing something to upset you.
Terrible talent.
There's got to be. Is it a bingo? There's a bingle? There's something happening with a bingle?
No, I'm not. I didn't say atrocious. I'm just talking terrible. Back from yesterday, Blue Oyster Cult, Mirrors. That's a song you have to choose from. The song is called Mirrors. Fantastic drums. It's a heavy, catchy little tune for those that have never heard it. It's a great song from the 80s. And then we've got Loverboy, loving every minute of it.
Mm.
Okay? So you got loving every minute of it. Also, This Could Be the Night, which was a huge, huge, soft, sappy song from Loverboy. So you got two there, or you got one from BOC. And I told you, I reorganized the records and I stacked them all up. And all I'm going to do is work my way down. I'm not going to go through and find this and find that. Some days are going to be better than others, and some days are going to be worse and terrible and unlistenable.
No.
But, oh, my. Don't say that.
That's not true. These are all good songs.
These are all good songs, and it's all fun stuff that, you know, back in the days of records that you're going to remember, and it's a lot of stuff that never gets played on the radio, but they're all moderate to big hits. So bear with us. Some days will be better than others. But
if you could see the craziness that he's got to go through to find albums in the morning,
I'm
the stack that it is. I mean, you would know why he's doing it this way.
I'm just going to peel them off the top and drop them in the basket, and then we'll just keep flipping through it. And there's a lot of records to get to, and I'm done shifting and sifting. And
there's just
going
so
through
many
it.
Of them, man. It takes forever.
So jump on Instagram, say hi to Dana, say hi to us. Anything else you want to ask us on Facebook too, and then we'll get the morning started with a record.
Okie dokie. So, Joey says, I enjoy you guys every morning while I'm at work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joey. Mm-hmm.
Nicole says, hi, guys, and our girl.
Hi.
Hi, Nicole.
That was a wave from Dog. We got Loverboy, Mirrors, loving every minute of it, Loverboy.
Mm-hmm.
We got loving every minute of it.
And pretty big hit from them.
I would say it is probably Loverboy, loving every minute of it on Instagram.
Okay.
Peter says on Facebook, can you just shoot me now? I don't think he likes the options this morning.
There you go,
well,
Peter.
You might be able to have that.
Let's see. Julie says this could be the night.
See, now just a quick second here. This could be the night. It's one of those belly rubbing songs.
Oh my.
Loverboy and a lot of rock bands. You know, we're getting ready to give you more chances to get those Bon Jovi tickets. Don't kid yourself. Bon Jovi, a rock band. Not a good rock band. But Bon Jovi, a rock band that did great ballads.
Why would you say that? They're a great rock band.
Yeah, out of all the rock bands in the world, Bon Jovi's one of them.
Yeah.
But they were good at doing soft songs, too. And that's what you had to do back in the 80s. If you wanted to be a rock band, you also had to crank out a couple of ballads. And this could be the night and Almost Paradise with Ann Wilson. Two of the biggest songs Loverboy ever had. Back in the day when all their videos, you know, they did really good stuff on MTV and people liked them, but their biggest hits were their two slowest and softest. And they're actually pretty good songs. And back in the 80s, you didn't get, like in the 80s, you just listened to a good song. You know, you'd listen to a song and you'd like it. You're like, oh man, that's good. But as the 80s kind of faded off and then the grunge came out and all that, if you listened to 80s, one, you were dopey. But then if you listened to soft, sappy 80s songs, well, then it was questionable. People really started calling your morale and character into question and started to doubt certain things about your machismo. So a lot of people are like, I'm not going to listen to that soft 80s stuff and Air Supply, whatever the song might be. A lot of people took a lot of heat for a lot of years, so I think all of that stigma has been erased. And I think that these songs, these soft ones that I mentioned, they are Loverboy's best. So, nice pick, Lisa.
That's funny. Why did they want all the big rockin' bands to do a power ballad song? What caused that
chicks.
Little scene?
Was
well,
it just they were
chicks, sales, and the other thing, we all work in radio. If you're Loverboy and the rock station in town is only playing your stuff, if you do a love song, well, then you can go to the AC station. You get more radio play.
Gotcha.
You bring more fans in. And I don't think
and it
any,
shows your softer side if you're a hard band.
Well, and a lot of these guys, they had good lyrics and they have, you know, guys have emotions and they
that's
were,
right yes
they,
we do
they
yes.
were good at writing these songs, and a lot of people are like, wow, you guys do better slow songs than you do, you know, heavy stuff. And that's what it was. And I don't think there was ever a quota for most of the bands, but I'm sure record companies would mandate
at least one or something.
One belly rubbing song per record, and if the bands were capable, they'd be their biggest hits.
That's crazy, man, when you think about that.
Nice job, Lisa. What else we got, Dana?
John says, referring to the retiring individual, that big name beat your boy in the Super Bowl twice.
So what? So what? Yeah, so what? Yeah. So suck my toe.
How many, oh, my gosh.
All the way to Mexico.
Yeah, how many rings does that guy that's going to retire tomorrow have? Oh, I think two. How many does Lord Brady have? Oh, I know six. Yeah,
oh,
so.
Oh, goodness.
Suck it.
Let's see. We got Go Niners. and is that it?
Is that it? Okay, so Dana, what
Mirrors,
are we playing?
Loving Every Minute of It, another one.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it's probably, what was the other one from Loverboy? Sorry.
So we've got Loverboy, Loving Every Minute
Loving
of It.
Loving Every Minute of It.
Or we've
That's
got
the,
the soft one, which was This Could Be the Night.
Is Loving Every Minute of It.
All right, Joe, whenever you're
All
ready.
All right, good pick. On 93.7, The River.
I have no electronics.
Call the Dog and Joe Show at 916-766.
That will happen today.
Yeah.
That is going to be the case for today because we have major computer issues here. My apologies. We will hopefully be able to keep this thing on the air and be able to play songs and do what we typically do.
Yes.
But this thing is haywire today, and it's none of our doing. So
the co-pilot does not have the technical capabilities to do anything here.
This is the engineer, the man in charge of keeping this on the air, does not have the technical or capable. this thing's broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's effed up. So let's see if we can get through the show now. And see, it's impossible.
Well, we get to do what we like to do the most. Talk.
Yeah. Okay, well, hey, call now. now. Yeah, what's your deal? 766-9370. Anything, everything you want to ask, anything you want to talk about, you want to share, please. 766-9370. Advice, you want it, you need it. All you got to do is call. Dan is in there. He's waiting. And it's sad today that we have technical difficulties because I have a fantastic deal today.
Are you being serious or are you being sarcastic? It's really hard to tell.
At this moment right now, I agree with you.
Yeah. Boy, the way Dana has said it sounded sarcastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, Dana, this is serious today. I have a fantastic deal and I'm so excited today. I'm overjoyed. And today's deal has nothing to do with me.
Okay, and now I'm afraid. Okay. Who does this have to deal with? Because if it's not you, it's one of the two of us.
Well, Dana, it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Mm-mm. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, yeah. Bad.
No.
That means it's about me.
No, Joe. No. It's absolutely about you. Yes.
I knew it.
You betcha. It is all about Joe.
See, great. What did I do now?
Or what did you not do?
Probably better.
No. Joe did something all right, Dana. He did it real good.
Oh, no, I'm scared to know.
Now I gotta know.
No. Joe knows what he did. So come on, Joe. Be modest. Tell Dana. Tell the others. What did you do?
I have no idea what you're talking about, man. Is it a trap is coming?
No.
Well, you got me trapped here. You always do this to me. You get me all excited and happy, and then you do something mean.
No, this isn't mean. I promise you.
Oh, now I know you're lying. This is definitely a trap situation.
It's not.
I agree with Joe. This is 100% a trap.
No. You don't know anything about traps, Dana. Shut your mouth.
No!
Okay. You don't know anything about him, Dana.
Mm.
I want to know what I did.
You know what you did. you did it.
What did I do?
What you did, kid, has something to do about you doing it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. What the hell are you talking about right now?
Dana, I'll just let it out right now. Dana, Joe's going on a date.
Are you, Joe? That's my 2020 prediction.
Oh. Yes, he is, Dana. Joe is going on a
That's
date.
Awesome!
How do you... What?
See, it wasn't a trap at all. I am truly excited.
Wait a minute here. How the hell do you know I'm going on a date? I didn't tell either of you anything about this yet.
You didn't need to tell us. I just did tell us.
Is that true, Joe? Are you really going on a date?
It is. It is true. Yes, Dana. I want to know how... this is very bizarre. How the hell did Dog know this? How did you know? I don't understand this, man. You're freaking me out.
I'm not going to tell you how I know this.
Come on, dude.
Dana, I'll tell you if you send me a private message on Facebook.
Oh, my God. That's so dirty.
What are you talking about right now?
Joe, Dog knows you're going on a date because he uses your Facebook page.
Oh,
he can see your private messages.
Jackpot.
That's bullcrap.
Jackpot!
You read my private messages?
Well, yeah, because yesterday I was doing stuff for the show and they kept popping up on my screen.
Oh, Christ.
And if they were private messages, I wouldn't have seen them.
You don't have to read them.
I did. That. I watched this whole date thing unfold on private message yesterday, and it was exciting.
I do. I really do. This is not fair at all. You shouldn't be allowed to use my page for the show anymore.
What isn't fair is the way that you've used Facebook since we've started the show. You've wasted it. You've squandered it. Yesterday was the first time you've done anything half-assed worthwhile on Facebook.
So, Dog, you're telling us that you read all of the messages that were going back and forth between Joe and this girl.
Mm-hmm.
You watched this whole thing unfold?
Oh, I did. And truth be told, Joe didn't ask her out. She asked him out.
I hate you.
She did.
I mean, honestly, I really do.
Yeah. Is that true, though, Joe? Did she ask you out?
Yeah. You know what they're doing? They're going to coffee.
Oh, so I can't even answer Dana myself now?
No, you take too long to answer people. The chick asked Joe out. Check this out. I was reading this yesterday. The chick Joe asked Joe out, and then Joe fell asleep.
Oh my gosh.
I had to wait like 2.5 hours for Joe to wake up from his nap to respond.
You disgusting dog. I can't believe you right now. Why would you do that?
Dana, I knew that she asked Joe on a date before Joe did because he was sleeping.
Oh, good for you, Joe.
And then after the chick asked Joe out, he did what Joe always does, which is, you know, this long preamble about, oh, I got sleepy and I have to take naps some days. And before Joe even said yes to the date, she'd already asked him, and I'm sitting there thinking, my God, he can't even cut the chit chat. When the chick was begging him to go on a date, and Joe's explaining how he wasn't awake.
Well, I was being serious. I was being truthful.
Well, hang on. Did it seem like Joe didn't want to go, or was he nervous?
Yeah, I think that Joe got freaked out. Oh. She asked him on a date, and he didn't know what to do.
I told you guys, I'm trying to rebuild my confidence levels back.
Yeah, well, okay. When a chick asks you out on a date, married or not, you just say yes.
Really? Married or not?
What is that?
Dana, ask me out on a date here on the radio.
Okay. Hey, dog, you want to go out on a date?
Yes. See how it works, Joe?
Yes. Oh, all right. Hey, dog, you want to go out on a date with me?
No.
Oh, see?
Oh, my gosh.
What is this?
I want to know more about her. Does she have kids? Is she cute? How old is she?
I can answer all those things, Dana. Just sit right there, Joe. I'll do the hard lifting for you.
Do that.
She's cute. She looks way too young for Joe, and I don't know if she has kids or not.
I don't want to share too much. I'm not going to share too much about her. It's not fair yet to her.
Well, yeah, but why? I mean, why? Why can't we know a little bit more about her?
Joe, your lucky dog didn't start replying to her for you.
And you know what, Dana? I almost did.
No.
Because I watched this yesterday. I'm like, my God, this girl is basically throwing her underwear at Joe.
Oh, quit it. She is not.
She's falling
nice
in his lap, and she's asking him on a date, and Joe's nowhere to be found. Joe starts a conversation with her. He's like, yeah, hey, what's going on? Hi, blah, blah, blah. They're doing all this real boring high school chit-chat back and forth. And then she asks him on a date. And I don't see the bubbles. I don't see the dots. I don't see Joe typing. I'm like, where did Joe go?
You saw me typing as soon as I woke up.
Yeah, that was like 2.5 laters. And that's where I had to like bite my fingers because I'm like, oh, I'm jumping in here. I'm going to Joe block Joe.
Oh, don't do that to
him. And I'm going to jump in and I'm going to say, yes, I'd like to take you on a date. And it took Joe 2.5 hours because Joe, and then Joe woke up. And I wasn't going to bother Joe. I was going to text him and go, dude.
I wish you would have texted me so because no. Then I hear a notification. I don't hear it on Messenger.
No, no, no. I wasn't going to do that, though, because I wanted to see nature take its course.
If I still had anything left in me.
Yeah, I wanted to see how you're going to respond. I was like, where did this idiot go? This chick that's cute.
She's very cute.
How old is she? Did you find that out?
Yeah, I did.
How old?
Well, here's the thing.
How old?
Because I knew she was a little bit younger.
You're dilly-dallying.
See, that's what he does.
She's a mom, though.
Yeah.
Okay, she does have two kids, so that means she's probably mentally very, very of age.
Oh, she's...
Oh, how old is she, Joe?
She's 29.
Yeah!
She's younger than me?
Yeah, she is younger than my sister.
And she has children? Are they older or younger than mine? Plus or minus?
I think one might be right around Livy's age. Maybe a little bit older, but one is my boy's age.
So she got to the business.
Yeah. She's
29.
Yeah, she was gonna just get on with life and get going with it, you know?
Yeah.
At an early age, and I think that's cool. So
I can't
believe that somebody like her is single at this moment.
I can't believe someone like her is into someone that's like you that's single at the moment.
Well, she hasn't met me yet. We've only been talking on text.
Has she seen photos?
I hope not.
Did she see that shirtless one of you?
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
If she did, I must prepare her that I look a little bit better than that now.
But you haven't told us when the date is.
Yeah, what's up with the date? Because I never got a conclusion.
You know what? Here's the thing, man. When you're single parents, it's so hard to find time to go out. So she has two kids, and she has them like 90% of the time. So she's only got really two free nights a week. It's Mondays and Tuesdays. So
that's peculiar.
I know. I have to wait all the way through.
Well, I would tell her that. That's what you tell her. Go, you know what? Odd thing about me, Mondays and Tuesdays are like my Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh, I did. Yeah,
let's Let's party.
Game on. We're definitely going to go. Then I have to decide if because we're going to go have coffee, you know.
What is it with you and coffee? Why are you going to have coffee?
Coffee is a very safe first date.
I think it is. I think girls feel good with
There's nothing wrong with it.
That way, if they're not into you or if something is not, you know, 100% kosher, they can bail.
It can be shorter.
And,
it can be longer.
Yeah. They don't feel uncomfortable that way.
You know? I'm just proud of you. I'm happy. And like I said yesterday, I had to bite my fingers because I'm like, this idiot just got asked out on a date and he's gone. He's sleeping. He fell down. Honestly, I thought you went out and like fed the chickens and got eaten by him or hit your head on something.
Well, does she know that you work early mornings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so does she kind of expect you to be taking a nap? Or?
She knew I would fall asleep.
Does she listen to the show or does she just know you on Facebook or what? How?
See, I didn't even ask her about this because I don't really talk about my job to girls or anything like that. You know,
yeah, I wouldn't
bring it. I just don't. I don't do that. But she wrote us she friended our show, and then I showed her to a dog.
Yeah.
And I go, this girl's really cute. Look at this girl. And then weirdly, oddly, like 2 days later, she asked about the app and how she could listen at work, and I kind of explained it
she
to her.
She sought
there.
You out.
And then we just, I was like, man, that's a kind of an open conversation starter. Yeah. I'm going to start talking with her. So I did, and luckily she talked back, and that's how it went.
Really. You don't want women that talk back.
You stop it, little chauvinist over there.
So I'm kind of stoked. I want to take her to the rodeo this weekend. I want to, you know, I'd like to meet her a little bit quicker, but we just can't.
Yeah, I did see a photo of her, and I was somewhat shocked, and I thought, yeah, she's very naturally pretty, very cute, but the first thing I saw, I mean, lights and sirens going off, way too young.
What we need to do now is take Joe over across the street and get a date outfit.
I'm going to have to definitely step up the game for a little bit if I'm going to go out
there.
Is
there a Kohl's over there, Dana?
There's a Kohl's that way. Yeah, there's one down the street.
What's wrong with Kohl's? They got great outfits.
For you, they do. And that's why I mentioned it. I think
he's actually not being sarcastic.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of a high-end department store that you would like, and I think Kohl's, you know, I mean, that's like your Nordstrom. That's like your Neiman Marcus. We take you to Kohl's because you always go to Walmart. If we take you to Kohl's, we do a makeover. But here's the thing, Dana.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Should we let it progress naturally? I mean, because if we go in and we make them over, maybe she likes that unlaundered days away from homelessness look.
That is not what I look like right now.
I mean, truly, she might like that. So I don't want to really intervene too much yet.
We don't want to make Joe to be something he's not.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no chance in that.
I think we want to polish him a little bit. That's all. Just a little polish.
I've kind of already let the cat out of the bag.
So what Dana's saying is we got to find something to kind of cover up the peanuts and the corn. But the rest we'll leave alone.
I get that analogy, you jerk.
Yeah, congratulations, Joe. You might be going on a coffee date. Believe me, whether he wants to talk about it or not, I will keep you updated throughout the day and the coming weeks because I know what's going on there on Facebook.
I have to say, I apologize, possible young new lady friend, because I forgot he would be looking at those.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. I don't even look at that stuff. Joe always says, hey, did you see those private messages? Hey, don't read that private message. Hey, there's one. I don't even think about those messages, but when I was working yesterday, they kept popping up on the laptop. Bing, bing. I'm like, who is this girl? What's going on? And I click on it, and I'm like, oh, pay dirt. I rubbed my hands together, and I went, whoa, ha, ha, ha. There is a date in action going on.
I always drag my, whenever I meet a girl that I kind of like or whatever, I drag my feet, and I decided, you know what? I'm not this time.
Yeah, good.
This time I'm not dragging my feet.
I've been beating on the drum, shouting, telling you, you got to get back on the horse, and you got to be committed and serious about it, whether you actively hunt or look. Or you get in that frame of mind where you don't look at all, but you're ready to date. That's where you got to be.
That's it. Nobody's talking about marriage and serious. I just like to go out with a couple girls. You know, I like this. This girl's cool as hell. I think I'm going to get along good with her. She's
Dana,
awesome.
Follow me on this.
I'm following.
I and Joe, I'm doing this for you. Okay, I'm going to do you a solid. I want to find out what kind of woman this girl is, and we're going to find out more about her morale or her moral
compass,
and yes, her characteristics. I want to see. You know,
I say it's solid.
Okay, so. I'm going to do something, a little test. I'm going to get on the Facebook private message today. I'm going to say, hey, can you send me a couple of...
Tasteful.
A couple of lingerie shots?
Mm. Don't you dare.
Can you...
Do not.
What about a nudie? We can't go have coffee till next week. How about you send me a little...
No.
Do not.
She can already tell I ain't one of those guys.
Well, but we'll see if she does it, though. And if she does it, then it might be kind of questionable. And again, I'm just doing this to protect you.
It's for Joe's protection.
No.
It goes journey any way you want it here on the Dog and Joe Show. It is a Thursday. We got a blatant bribe for you 9 minutes away. Joe will give you the code word. Text it back to 200-200. Got $1,000 for you. Then coming up at 8 o'clock today, we'll showcase another adorable adoptable courtesy of Front Street Animal Shelter. Time for a little bit of news. An American mother of two vacationing in Belize disappeared over the weekend while she and her boyfriend camped on an island less than the size of an acre.
Whoa.
This is an island, okay? I mean, that is a postage stamp in the water, if you will.
Yeah.
And Allison McKenzie, 43, last seen Friday evening after she arrived on the tiny, small island. It's called Rendezvous Cay, as part of a three-day tour with a group of 15 people, three crew members. And this is the second woman to have gone missing in Belize.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
And Dana, I know you know, I don't know if Joe knows, but Belize, beautiful. And what is it, about 2 hours south of Cancun, 3 hours south?
Where is it?
It's just down the Caribbean.
It's near Guatemala.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not too far from Mexico, and you're kind of in between there, and it's on that Caribbean side. Yes. And it's a really, really beautiful place, and a lot of people go. But people now, women in particular, showing up missing, and the family believes that she is not alive.
Oh, no, man, dude.
Yeah, I hope it does get better for her. Sadly, three Americans have died in a plane crash while helping out with the wildfires in Australia. They were in a tanker. It crashed while battling the wildfires over there in South Wales. And that's tragic, too.
Could you imagine? Oh, I mean, that is just the worst of all. You're flying over all that crap with a big belly full of water and one of those. I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah. We have a young lady we work with here that just got back from the area. And she said that it was really, really smoky. And one day it rained and it kind of held the smoke over the place she was at. I don't know which city she was in, but she said it just kind of, the water, it rained just enough to hold the blanket of smoke over the entire city she was in. She said you couldn't breathe. You couldn't go outside, and she said it was pretty terrible. At least one dead, seven injured. You may have seen this on the news last night, shooting that took place outside McDonald's in downtown Seattle. Sadly, at least one person was killed, seven others injured, including a child, after a dispute in front of a McDonald's led to the shooting in downtown Seattle. Multiple shots were fired. They got calls around 5 o'clock yesterday. Pandemonium, it was going crazy. And they I guess, did get the victims.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, good.
Absolutely unbelievable, man.
So that's the bad news. Now we have to get on to, I guess, the good news, Joe.
Okay, good.
3 weeks after Chinese officials announced the outbreak of the new virus that has sickened more than 400 people, the coronavirus, or 2019 NCOV, became at an animal and seafood market. We told you this yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now they're blaming it on snakes, possibly.
Snakes?
First of all, they thought it was cats. Then they blamed it on the wet markets. Now they're saying that snakes could have been the ones that transferred this disease to humans. And I have not checked the latest numbers up to the minute, but I still think the total death count from the coronavirus is under 10.
Okay.
So China, a nation of like 1.35 billion people, you've got 400 people that have this, yet only about or under 10 deaths. So it's not a big deal.
So they're getting it wrapped up then. Is it growing 100 a day? Because if it were at 400, that sounds like it's grown 100 a day since we found out about it.
Yeah, it's growing at an alarming pace if you're over there. But if you leave in America, they say do not worry about this, and this is why. It says the coronavirus that originated in central China out of Wuhan, so far the outbreak has killed 9. According to this, it could be up a little bit higher, but because of the medicine and because of the precautions and because of our ability to take care of things, if in fact you come down with an illness, because we have good medicine and doctors, it should not be a concern here in the States, and they have not found any other infected people in the state of Washington from that guy that came back the other day from China, so that's good news.
Good.
Yeah.
So the contagiatory rate, person to person, seems to be a little bit slower, but if you're over there in the epicenter, it sounds like a bunch of infected or tainted meat that a lot of people ate caused this enormous outbreak, and then it was slowly transferring person to person, but it's not as communicable as they thought, hopefully.
Oh, see, now that's always better when you find that out, thankfully. And the people dying from it are probably old or young kids.
It says
something.
You have nothing to worry about it here in America unless your name is Joe.
Well, that would be true.
There. Mm-hmm. A Utah woman charged after going topless in front of her stepkids inside her own home faces a setback in court.
What?
A Utah woman was dealt a setback in her fight against criminal charges for being seen topless by her stepchildren in her own home when a judge upheld the state's lewdness law. Okay, this happened on Tuesday. Tilly Buchanan, who could face prison and be forced to register as a sex offender for 10 years if convicted, challenged the lewdness statute as unconstitutional on the grounds that it discriminates against women by making it illegal for her to show their breasts, or women to show their breasts. But the judge, also a woman, upheld the law after prosecutors argued that the lewdness in American society is commonly understood to include women's breasts, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. And this thing goes on and on and on. And, you know, you've heard of the Free the Nipple movement?
Yeah.
That I support wholeheartedly.
I think you started that,
of course
didn't you?
You do.
Yeah. But I guess that fell on deaf ears, and Buchanan was charged after she and her husband took off their shirts to keep their clothes from getting dirty while they hung drywall in the garage.
So okay. She had a bra on or not?
No, they took bra and shirts off. Okay, and this happened back in late 2017, 2018. His three children, ages 9 through 13, then walked into the garage and saw the couple topless.
So, is his ex-wife the one suing them?
So, the children's mother reported the incident to child welfare officials working on a separate investigation involving the kids.
Híjole.
The husband not charged. Now, see, that's what's ridiculous about this is... whether he is married to this woman or not, it is his date, it is his house, and
it's her house too, the one who's being charged with the lewd conduct.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if they're married, and I don't know if she pays rent, or I don't know the details there. She might just be staying with them.
Didn't it say stepmother?
It said stepmother.
Yeah, to me that implies that they are married.
I think they got a marital bond there.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's no story. That's the point.
Yeah,
if they are in fact married, then that's it.
I wanted to ask this though. Were they really hanging drywall?
Yeah.
I mean, was that just a quick thinking daddy? Because I got to tell
you. He's like, hey, kids aren't here. Let's get naked.
Oh, hey, little Billy. Oh, man. Yeah, me and your stepmom, we didn't really want to get our shirts dirty, so we took those off to hang drywall. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He could have been lying to the kids.
Who hangs drywall shirtless?
Who goes out in the garage to get topless?
Desperate parents who have too many children.
I would right now. I'd go into the garage. I'd go really anywhere.
Yeah.
I'd go into the garage, backyard.
Yeah, as long as I don't have to hang drywall.
Right near a tree, I'd be anywhere with that.
You know what, Joe? Usually your logic is really, really far-fetched and horse crap.
That was good from him. But, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they were going to have some hanky-panky time.
I'm just wondering, because I don't think drywallers, you know, remove clothing.
There's going to be a lot of shirtless construction workers from now on.
I've seen a lot of my friends that hang drywall, and they all have clothes on.
I don't want chalk on my shirt. Yeah, drywall people, what they do is they wear white clothes.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. All right, guys. All right, we got to get back to hanging the lid. Take your shirts off.
I can't believe that a woman would want to have those things free as you're doing like construction.
Yeah, whether you're nailing the drywall or you're taping, you're throwing the mud up there, or you're screwing the drywall. Yeah, you wouldn't think
as the only woman on the show with a rather large endowment. I would say no. I don't want to hang drywall without a shirt or bra on.
I think you'd want to contain them a little.
I think that I do want them contained.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. And this has nothing to do with me, but I think the River Rockers would appreciate a video segment, though, of you swinging a drywall hammer, drywall or not, topless.
Oh my gosh,
no.
Not happening.
That ain't going to happen.
Not happening.
Absolutely. Like they like to see a video of you installing carpet without your pants on.
The funny thing is he already has that video ready to go today.
Yeah. That thing needs to be deleted.
Okay, vote now on Facebook. Do you want to see Dana hang sheetrock topless, or do you want to see me stretch carpet pantsless?
Oh, God. Whoa. Hey. I can't be voted on.
Call the new crew. Call the new crew. Dana and Dawg. We'll fix all your house repairs.
Oh, man. All of the people on this show with D names like to get naked. This is terrible.
We'll do plumbing. We'll do painting.
Yeah. Tired of plumber's crack? No more! You get the whole moon!
Enchilada.
Our plumbers never have plumber's crack because they remove the pants before they put on the booties.
Hey, at least you wear the booties.
Yeah. Could you imagine? That's even funnier. The handyman shows up, perfectly manicured nails. He's all clean, face shaved, everything clean cut. He's got booties on, but he's nude.
Naked as a jaybird. Wow, that's different. Yeah, it is. I don't like to get my clothes dirty.
Yeah. That family in Utah, man, they're onto something. It's very hygienic. You hang drywall topless. But yeah, it sounds like that they are married, though. I kind of jumped over that. It did say stepmom. So if they are married, I got to tell you, if there's nothing illegal
and
about...
And it's their home.
Yeah, if the natural parents, because my mom got naked, your parents, we've all seen our parents naked.
Yeah.
If that's not a crime, then that shouldn't be because they're married, or should it be a crime because those aren't her children? And some would say that that does make a big difference.
But at the same time,
boy,
I think that they thought that they were in an area that the kids were not going to come into.
Yeah.
And so the kids walked in on it. It wasn't like she purposely
She wasn't
did
like
it.
Washing dishes.
She's not like, oh, okay, the kids are here, whoop, and she takes off her shirt, you know? Like, that's a completely different situation.
Yeah, come on, kids, dinner time.
They show you something. She's like, hey, oh.
It's you like kids love milk or juice.
Oh, my gosh.
Joseph.
That's what I meant, actually, out of the carton. I didn't think about that before I said it. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's awful.
Here's the other thing, too. The ex-wife is scorn or pissed, because here's the thing. I ask you this. Think about this. What if Digger Joe?
I was just thinking that when you're saying this.
He came home and he comes back from your ex's house and he goes, "Yeah, Carl, Dad, he just walks around the house all the time, nude, pants down." What would you think about that?
I would not like that.
And
at all.
Male appendages, though, very different than seeing breasts, opinion.
But Digger comes home and says, "Dad, Mom and Carl, they just do everything with their pants down. I go into the garage and they don't have pants on." What would you think about that? Seriously. And I look at Joe's face, and Joe's right now, he's fuming. But he comes home and says, "Carl won't wear pants with Mom. Every time Carl comes over, they take their pants off and they do everything in the garage."
I'm not a tempered man or anything like that, but that would incense me.
Yeah, but
would you
go to the courts? Would you call bitch on that? Would you raise a stink?
Would you go over and fight him?
I would probably call you and a couple buddies, and we have to go over there and make him put some pants on.
All right,
hey, Joe, you know what? Give me an hour and 15. I'll be at your house. Let me go out to the stone and sharpen my scissors.
I don't do a lot of fighting.
Are you going to wrestle a man with no pants on, Joe?
In front of my child, I might have to. You know, I mean, that's a precarious situation.
Think about the mom. She's probably upset. You know, this guy, he's got a new girlfriend or they're married.
Maybe he was cheating on his ex-wife with this new woman.
We don't know all the details. I'm not going to say that I would like that, because if my son came home and said,
"Oh my God,
you know, Mom and Ron, they won't put their pants on," I would call on the phone immediately and say that you are not going to walk around pantsless in front of my son. That might make me raise stink.
Yeah, a reoccurring thing, that's an issue. If it is just a one-off where the kids walked in, oops-a-daisy, that's very different.
Way different. Now, if he walked in on her and someone together, that's a whole different scenario.
Yeah.
But if they're out in the garage, or through the living room, and the guy's just walking pantsless all the time, letting it swing free. I mean, that needs to have some stuff raised about that.
That's a tough one, though, when the kids are seeing stuff that's from an adult that, you know, you have no relation to. It does kind of throw a wrench into it.
Yeah, that's awful.
We got to give you a blatant bribe. $1,000. Text it back to 200-200. I think the county needs to go over there and check on this drywall job.
Your 6 o'clock code word is jump. J-U-M-P to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000, 6 o'clock code word is jump. J-U-M-P to 200-200. Good luck.
We saw this yesterday. It's a pretty crazy story out of Florida, as all stories are.
Mm-hmm.
Iguanas, because they're having a cold snap in South Florida. People are walking around everywhere you go. Iguanas falling out of the sky, out of trees.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, they're frozen and they're kind of in this coma, so their body gets cold, and their body's natural protection is they kind of just tense up and they get cold and they fall out of the trees and they land on people, and people are picking them up and they're like, "Oh my God, a dead iguana." But then after they hold it for a minute, it gets warm and it'll wake up. It's like, "Oh, I feel better." So all these damn iguanas are falling all over, and now what they're having is a sale on iguana meat.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Why? Because some of them are actually dying?
Some are dying, but most of them are just cold, so they're falling out of trees. And they say that if you live in South Florida, your trees are ripe for the picking. And you can believe that this is what they do in Florida. They will eat them as they do in Mexico.
And they eat gator and things like that.
Yeah. And they say,
I mean, as big as you guys told me they get, there's probably a lot of meat on an iguana that size.
And they say, like, down in Mexico, they have tacos iguana. And they say that it's good. And I would try it.
I would, too.
But any time that it gets below 40 degrees, they go into this hibernation coma thing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And they just drop out of the skies. And
now they're food.
Yeah, and now they're food. People are like, "Oh, my God, the fruit's fallen." And they're celebrating.
So in Florida, they run around like they do in Mexico, because in Mexico, they're everywhere. They're on all the trees. They're not actually people's pets. They are just like...
Wild.
They're wild.
Yeah, that's how they are in Florida.
Like the chickens of Fair Oaks? They just run through the streets like that?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
they're everywhere.
No way.
This is kick-ass. Listen to this. Texas Police Department buys 2020 Ford Mustang with money it raised from handing out speeding tickets.
Yes!
I love that. If it was in California, you would have funded that.
Yeah, me too.
That is awesome. And again, don't confuse this with a high-powered. It's a GT, so it doesn't have the big horsepower. It's not a Shelby. It's nothing high-powered like that. But it is an almost $50,000 black and white Mustang that the department paid for, and it looks macho. And it's got the 302 badging on it. It's got the cool paint stripe. It's got blacked-out wheels. And I think this is awesome because it takes us back to a time when CHP here used to use 5.0s and the LXs back in the day. And it was a cool era. So good for Texas. They wrote enough tickets to go out and buy them a real cop car.
I don't know much about the Mustang. The GT, that is still a 5.0 though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well now again.
There's not going to be able to be too many things that outrun that guy.
No, that thing will catch Corvettes. It'll catch Lamborghinis. It'll catch them all.
It'll catch a Bugatti.
That thing will catch
Dodge Hellcat. What?
Yeah, it'll catch fighter planes. It'll catch them all. This is sad. In 2020, this kind of stuff's still going on. The passenger of a vehicle on I-5 Monday had to be taken to the hospital after a rock was thrown through his windshield and hit him in the head. Oh. It penetrated the windshield of the vehicle. It was traveling northbound just south of March Lane in Stockton. Someone got a rock over the overpass, broke the windshield, hit him in the head, had to seek emergency care. It looks as if he's going to be okay. And the passenger got minor injuries. The driver, a little more severe, but they're going to be okay. No other injuries reported. But in 2020, they talk about encasing and caging in ball games for the broken bats, the foul balls. But you can still walk up to an overpass in this state and throw a brick, a rock, or something heavy.
So this wasn't kicked up from the ground. This came from high up off of an overpass.
Yeah, yeah. They want to know if anyone saw suspicious behavior in the area because this did not look like something that had fallen off a truck.
That's awful.
And I guess the witnesses that were behind or nearby and the driver or passenger said that it did fall from the sky, meaning it came from the overpass.
So, I gotta tell you,
terrible.
You're doing something like that. You should have, whether you're an adult male or not, you should have to be bent over the knee of a larger man and paddled like you were back in grade school with that big wooden paddle. You should have to take a straight butt paddling.
No, I think the county butt paddling should, or the butt paddling should happen at the county clink. I mean, it's whoever you're putting to
not
a cell
only that,
with.
Pay the person's hospital bills that they clearly had to rack up because you did that to them.
Yeah, that's
awful.
Childish is
it's,
all
it's
get
just,
out.
It's ignorant, yeah. You should have your license taken away. I mean, there's a lot of things that should happen, and they should use these people as an example because it still happens far more than it should.
Right.
And I don't understand why people can throw things over an overpass, meaning I don't understand why these aren't caged. There's very little you could spend to keep people from throwing crap off onto cars below.
You feel so little inside that you could do that to somebody you don't even know. That's unbelievable.
Wedding canceled after groom cheats with stripper. Bride's sister demands she gets the wedding dress.
Oh my gosh, that's a headline.
After getting cheated on right before her wedding, a woman decided to alter her unused wedding dress into something she could wear to other events in an attempt to take her power back.
Oh boy.
Get it, girl.
Unfortunately, she didn't realize that her sister apparently had plans for the dress of her own. So, posting under a name, the former bride-to-be revealed that she was set to get married 2 months ago. Unfortunately, the event was called off when her fiancé cheated on her with a stripper at a bachelor party.
Oh,
idiot.
No.
She said, I had this dress. This dress cost me around $2,000 out of my pocket. I'd been very depressed since everything happened because I felt it was somehow my fault for not being sexy enough or not giving him what he wanted.
Oh, my
not
Lord.
Not your fault,
I
girl.
Can't believe that's what she feels like.
Yeah. So last weekend, I decided to take my power back and begin altering the dress. I've been sewing for 15-plus years. I know what I'm doing. I cut it a bit. I changed the color to something less wedding-ish. And after a week of work, I had a beautiful gown that I could use for more stuff. And the sister... Her sister hits her up and asks if that old wedding dress could be hers. And she said yes. And the story continues, yada, yada, yada. And now this bride-to-be, it's a happy ending now. But the reason that it all happened was because the groom-to-be cheated with the stripper.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. His friends should have their heads smacked for that, for letting that take place.
Yeah.
Unless he was really that kind of a guy, and that was a good thing that happened to her.
And the sister and her, they get into a fight about it. It's a long story, but the fact of the matter is, and the moral of the story is, don't cheat on the stripper before you're getting married.
Yeah, probably, I wouldn't even say, let's just avoid having them at the old bachelor party. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not going to go that far. No, you can't have a bachelor party if you don't have strippers.
Well, I did. You guys didn't get me no strippers.
Yeah, and look what happened. You ended up divorced.
You animal.
The Philadelphia Flyers mascot named Gritty is under investigation for allegedly punching a 13-year-old boy at a fan event.
Whoa!
Chris Greenwell said that he and his son, Brandon, had taken a photo with Gritty, the mascot, in an event for season ticket holders, after which the mascot hit Brandon in the back. And he said Brandon playfully patted the mascot on the head after the photo was taken. But as Brandon, the boy, walked away, Gritty got out of his chair, took a running start, and punched my son as hard as he could.
Oh, my Lord.
So now they're investigating, and there's not really a story here, because isn't that what you expect from a hockey mascot? That's all they do in hockey. They punch each other. And how are you going to raise your children to become the hockey stars of tomorrow if they don't get punched by the hockey mascot? That breeds good NHL players, doesn't it?
No. Absolutely. You're going to take a running start at a 13-year-old?
Yeah, stupid.
Get out of here.
Wish we had this on Tuesday, but it just came in. It's a very, very sad day because Mr. Peanut has died.
Oh.
Mr. Peanut is the dapper planner's icon. He is dead now after being 104 years of age. They announced that, yes, they are removing the mascot from their line of commercials and packaging, and they are going to retire and or put him to rest. And he was 104 years of age, so Mr. Peanut will no longer be in commercials.
Why?
Or on cans, and I guess the company just thinks that Mr. Peanut is old.
Oh, man, what are you going to sell him with now? Does they have to come up with a whole brand new thing?
Maybe it's a Mrs. Peanut.
Mrs. Peanut?
Oh, that'd be all right then. I mean, you got to keep, the look of it must stay the same.
And again, in this day and age, it's a peanut. Why should one gender be assigned? There could be some upset people.
Just the peanut?
Yeah, just peanut person. So I guess they are going to do some Super Bowl commercial stuff. They're going to do a commercial in the third quarter of the game, and they're going to allow viewers to mourn Mr. Peanut during his funeral.
You've got to be kidding me.
Aww. Yeah, they're going to put him to rest during the Super Bowl in the third quarter.
They're going to lay him in a casket.
I guess so, and they're asking people to attend the service during the game. And I got to tell you, a lot of stuff I joke about, this is kind of sad. Why would you kill him off? He's been alive since 1916.
Yeah. And you're going to do it during the Super Bowl.
Well, that's so you have to watch.
One of our happiest things to watch is a man or a woman these days, and you're going to kill the peanut.
Yeah, well, not only that, not only do you just not, you remove him and tell people we're not going to use him anymore, you have a funeral for him.
Yeah, during the Super Bowl.
I think it's kind of funny.
Wow, I'm going to probably watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'll cry.
So I guess, we should, lay flowers down.
Yeah.
At the edge of our TV sets, and I think we should dress nice for Super Bowl Sunday.
Make sure you wear all black.
All black, yes. Women wear veils and have tissue on hand.
Get mine ready.
It could be a very dramatic day.
Maybe we should boil some peanuts and have peanuts just from all different kinds of varieties. So not only are we going to eat them regularly, have you ever had a boiled peanut?
No.
It's not exciting.
I don't want one.
It's a southern country thing, and it is awful.
There you go. There's your news.
Being Thomas, most of it being Thomas, after, but instead, Omaha! The ball is moved.
Omaha! Set! Die! Left side! Right side!
10, 9.
Hot, hot, hot.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are. February 2nd, that's the big day. Super Bowl Sunday. As you know, you got your San Francisco 49ers and their Kansas City Chiefs fighting to see who is going to walk away with this year's championship. But it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be a fantastic game. And if you want to listen to a real 49er fan kind of break down smallly just a little bit about who they think is going to win and how it's going to work out, listen to Derek Moore. He joined us yesterday for a Dog and Joe show after show, and it was pretty good. Here's the thing, though, and I will give credit where credit's due. Derek Moore has been a fan of the 49ers since he was like 4 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can tell.
Yeah, he loves the team. He's smart with what he knows about football, and he really does follow football. He follows all sports. He's a sports geek, and he's a betting fiend.
what a lame out there like that.
But he loves football. That's his specialty, and he also loves the San Francisco 49ers. And I told him yesterday, I'm like, dude, Derek, you should be doing a lot more talking about this because we're in NorCal, and you know a lot of people here are excited about 49ers going back to the Super Bowl. They're excited that all this stuff with Kaepernick's done. They've got Garoppolo. Their defense is stupid. I mean, they are poised to take this thing. And I told Derek, man, you should really be giving the fans what they want because he knows a lot about it. Mm-hmm. And we only get into a little bit with what we did yesterday on the after show because Derek and I made a $100 bet, me picking the Chiefs and then him picking the 49ers. So watch that. That's on the Dog and Joe Show Facebook page. But hopefully Derek Moore, our afternoon guy, he'll really get into this and start showcasing all his football knowledge because the dude's smart as a whip when it comes to football and the Niners.
Whenever I'm really listening to something intently, it always cracks me up because you've learned a little bit about football this year, too, from talking to him and, you know, watching it and because you're winning everything and it's ridiculous again that you're doing that, but you've gotten into it again a little bit.
Well, it's been a long time. I just, like I told you, you know, the Marcus Allen, you know, Plunkett days, that was my heyday for football. And as I got older, I just got busier and I just cared less and less about it. And then, you know, I've always known the game and I used to watch a lot of it.
You've liked it and you've talked about it in a little bit, but this year's different. I feel like it's different.
It is because I got into it and I really read a lot and I tried to watch more of the games and I really tried to pick and get into this and make it happen. And when I found out how excited Derek was with this, it kind of gave me a challenge.
I know.
Because you waste my time.
Really? Thanks. I'm giving you a compliment. You're burying me under sand.
I'm complimenting you. It's just you never really gave me anything.
Oh, you're complimenting me.
You never gave me anything to strive for. It was always like, okay, we're going to pick teams. And
that sucks.
We'll shake hands and we'll make a bet and all that, yada, yada, yada.
And you know you're going to win every year.
I know I'm going to win.
Down, not me.
Yeah, and then for some reason.
I beat him twice, Dana.
Yeah.
Well, the second time, we were not real sure if that happened or not, if it's in my memory, but I definitely beat him once.
You won one year, yes, but I've had three teams now go to the Super Bowl, two of which have won.
Well, Super Bowl hasn't happened yet. A lot could take place between now and February 2nd.
Well, God forbid a plane accident. Allowing Kansas City Chiefs to get
flat
them on.
Flat tire. Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of things.
Yeah, I know it hasn't happened yet, but they're still scheduled to play. They're in the Super Bowl.
What I was going to tell you, though, is while you two were talking, my mouth kind of just drops open. I sit there looking like a moron as I'm listening to what, because I'm so intent on listening to what you're saying, and I get taken away with it. I'm just going, and I just go back and forth and listen to the football, and none of it I retain any of.
So you make the same face or facial expression when you're not listening as you do when you are.
Yeah, right, okay. I'm making right now. While we're talking. Yep.
So Pigskin Picks update. Make sure you jump on to 937theriver.com. $500 courtesy of the amazing Stones Gambling Hall. You got time, but don't waste your time. There's only two teams. You know who you want to win.
By now you do.
Yeah, who you think's going to win, so make the wager. Pigskin Pick update now. After a very successful 15-year career, longtime Giants quarterback Eli Manning announcing that he will retire. The announcement will happen tomorrow.
Well, that made sense.
Whoa.
Now.
Yeah. No big surprise. He was benched this season. Daniel Jones, he was the quarterback for the majority of it. I think they let Eli come out, two or three times?
Yeah.
And everybody has seen this coming for a long time. He's going to finish his career with 57,023 yards of passing, 366 touchdowns, 244 interceptions.
Wow.
He went 117 over the course of his career as a starter for the Giants, but went 8-4 in the playoffs, including a pair of Super Bowl runs in 7-11. He's 39. He's stepping down, and he will walk away from the game being the highest earning quarterback to ever retire. Whoa. $252 million in salary during his 16-year career.
Wow. Whoa. That's a lot of money.
That is really impressive, though.
And here's the thing. Peyton Manning, the brother, $249 million in career earnings. So even Eli made more money than his brother. Peyton Manning, as you know, he retired back in 2016.
Yeah.
But Eli Manning, he made more money than Peyton. So
no, like $3 million more is quite a bit more money, actually, when you get up, when they're both, that's a sickening amount of money right there.
They made lots of cash. So they're going to make the announcement tomorrow. Lots of people in New York excited about this. Some probably sad. But this has been about two or three seasons coming. So
I would think even if you're a Manning fan, you've liked him, you're a little bit happy about it. I mean, you want your team to win, I would think.
Yeah, you know? At what point do you just champion the guy that you love? You know, it's like Tom Brady shows up when he's 62. And he's going out there, and you're happy to see him. But, I mean, he's coming out there. He's got tennis balls on the other end of the walker. He's achy. You know, you're happy.
He's no longer throwing the ball. He just slingshots it.
Yeah. They talk about armchair quarterbacks. They put him out there in a lazy boy, you know. He's got, like, some sort of slingshot football.
That hot dog shooting thing.
Yeah. He's got a football cannon. I mean, a lot of people get excited about that. People pay big money to see it.
I actually would watch that.
He's no longer in contention at that point, and that's what happened to Eli. And Eli, he should have let go a long time ago. And you remember Eli Manning, Archie Manning's father, Peyton's father, he said that he did not disagree last season, the season before, when the coach benched him.
Oh yeah,
Archie Manning said, you guys need to calm down, you guys need to leave the New York Giants head office and coach alone. I support their decision. If my son isn't up to their level, he deserves the wood. And that shut a lot of people up, because when dad says, if you suck, you shouldn't play, who else is going to argue that?
Archie was a hard man. You remember the way them boys talked about him. He was hard on them kids.
Yeah, good, good.
Hard on them.
And look at what they got. They got $249 and $252 million. Hopefully Pops is taking some off the top.
I was going to say, that's a dad doesn't have to worry about much, really,
no,
right?
That's $500 million his two kids went out and earned.
Oh, my gosh.
So really, was dad that hard on him? I don't think so.
Man, that's insane.
More... Whoa. Antonio Brown news now with the pigskin pick update. It gets better and better every day. Antonio Brown reportedly locked himself in his house amid the battery investigation that was going on that we talked about yesterday.
That means it really did happen.
I guess his personal trainer, Glenn Holt, was arrested for battery in the assault of a moving truck driver.
What?
Yeah, it says Brown was also implicated in the event and was reportedly walled himself from society inside his own home. Brown, you know, he's a 7-time Pro Bowler. He's down in Hollywood, Florida, so this can't end well. Cops wanted to show up. They wanted to investigate this, this connection of the Holt battery case, but he was not named a suspect, but he still held himself up inside the house. And this is just days after the relationship with his agent, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, we talked about it, was terminated. Because he said, this guy, if he doesn't get help, I'm done. So he's now locked up in the house, I guess, and he doesn't want to come out.
I mean, at cause for embarrassment, which I think is probably what he's thinking. Oh, I'm going to be embarrassed. But you're not embarrassing yourself more by doing this. I mean, people are watching you do this to yourself, and they're still saying, go get some help.
Yeah.
And we could still, you know, back you. We'll still, you know, help you out. And then you're just going to ignore it all.
And go crazier.
And go crazier.
Yeah. Antonio Brown's ex-girlfriend said the embattled wide receiver desperately needs mental health treatment. And she says this isn't someone calling someone crazy. She fears for his safety and others and says that she needs him to get help. And I guess she left an emotional message on her Instagram. And talking about that, yeah, he really, really needs to get some mental evaluation and serious therapy.
Well, I mean, where's these buddies? Go pick his butt up and take him to a place and get three or four of you and go over there and talk some sense into him.
Yeah.
And load him up in the car and go get him some help. I mean, he's got to listen to someone.
She says here that he has made questionable choices and continues to ignore all advice from others, especially those who love and support him. At this point, the boys and I are working on building a new life free of the impulsive, reckless, and unhealthy behaviors that he has caused throughout the years, but she's begging someone, because now she's tried. She doesn't want to go near this. It's too toxic.
Well, she's got children. She can't have that around that.
And she's begging someone to help this guy out, but she knows that Antonio Brown does not want it. So
that's heartbreaking. That is really, really heartbreaking. But a lot of folks don't get that chance. A lot of folks don't get the chance that he got right there to where people, I mean, they mess up and life's hard on them. They're done. They're, you know, you've been forgotten about. I can't believe he wouldn't accept any help.
At this point, you know, because a lot of people would like to have him on a team. A lot of people respect his playing ability. All he would have to do, instead of all this crazy stuff, you know, throwing all these insults at the Patriots and the Raiders and all the stuff, all he needs to do is come out with a video and go, look, guys, I want to play this game, and I've made horrible decisions, and I've unraveled. Help me.
My brain is wild and crazy at the moment. I'm going to calm it down and get some help for it and get back to normal again. I apologize.
Please, someone help me. I can clearly use the help, so I don't know what's going to happen with this.
That's really sad.
Check this out. StubHub, you know, they're the ticket retailer. They're the third party. offering loans for Super Bowl tickets with 30% interest.
Ooh. Ooh,
that's a high one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a high one. I don't know a lot about interest, but I do know high interest because I have credit cards.
Yeah. Well, what's your credit card interest rate?
22, probably.
Whoa.
That's a pretty good one.
30.
Yeah.
30% on this. You can take the loan out with the predatory lender-like interest rates of as much as 30% if you want to see the big game in person.
Well, that's mafioso. That's getting your arms broke if you don't pay it back.
It says short-term loans can go with rates as low as 10% and 30%. It all depends on the buyer's credit score and other determinations and credit worthiness. The feature can be used to finance purchases between $99 and $17,500.
Well, I'd like to see what the interest at 30% is on that number. That is a chunk.
You're paying probably close to double.
Yeah, I mean, that is insane. And think about the guys that sit out in their garage that, you know, like to paint their faces and rip their shirts off and break the beer bong out. And they, 7-layer dip, not enough. They need 8-layer. And they just, they love the game. And all they do is they work all year so they can watch football all weekend. And they don't have a lot of money. And there's a lot of shouting going on. You know, they should be spending their money differently, but they don't because they love the game. Think about these people that are going to ruin their lives with this option from StubHub. And StubHub just performing a service, predatory at that. They're giving people a chance that can't afford it to go see it. That's what credit's about. But this is going to ruin lives. People are going to go homeless because of this.
I'm all for credit. I live in the world of it and love it. And I think it's a great idea for Americans. We should all take part in it. But you got to know your interest rates. You really do. Trust me when I tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't save up year after year after year. And here's the other thing. It's not like you're saving up to buy a house or buy a car. And yeah, I know housing changes and car models come and go. But a lot of people look at this as, oh, my God, my team. Kansas City Chiefs, it took them 50 years to get here. Martha, you know I can't live another 50 years. We got to take advantage of this StubHub interest rate.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot that.
People are going to think of this as an urgency. You know, hey, when's the next time that the Kansas City Chiefs are ever going to see the 49ers?
I'll never be alive for it. I got to do it now.
Yeah.
Reverse mortgage.
Sell the house.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to go to extreme ends because it's very, very urgent. So, yeah, you're going to see a huge homeless uptick. You won't notice it in San Francisco, but in Kansas City, you probably will.
Oh, my Lord. That's terrible.
Check this out. If you're a 49er fan, it says the 49ers will wear white jersey, gold pants when they play off with the face.
Had a stroke there.
Yeah.
When they face off against the Chiefs in Miami.
Isn't that what they typically wear?
Red and gold, right?
Red, I don't know what their colors are, really. Yeah, red, I know, it's one.
Typically red shirt, but I did think that they wore white shirts, too.
White and gold with the gold pants. I feel like I've seen them in that a lot.
Yeah, the 49ers would push to wear their all-white throwback uniforms, and they're going to be using their usual road uniform. So I guess
that
gonna,
is the one we see him playing all the time then.
Yeah, 49ers will be in their standard white jersey and gold pants for the February 2nd game. So
cool.
Good for you guys.
Well, you can't have both in red. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that's where the decision came because Chiefs colors, I mean, if you get them both out there, they're going to look the same.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, we will see what happens. Make sure you check out the video. Derek Moore joined us yesterday on the Dog and Joe Show after show, and that's waiting for you right now on the Facebook page. Dana, are we good to go with this week's Adorable Adoptable?
You want to do it now?
No. I just want to make sure she's coming up. 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are going to fall in love with this girl. She is a very, very calm, very well-behaved, very respectable young lady, and she's only about 4 years of age, and she's cute. And we put her on the leash yesterday, and she calmly walked and waited for all of us. She turned around.
Kept looking.
Yeah. She's like, are you guys coming with us? She didn't pull on the leash. We got her into the yard, and we greeted her, and she was very calm and didn't have a lot of energy. Like the card said, she's a cool little girl, and she's got a lot of different unique features.
You talked about the one we had last week that we didn't see a lot of those, you know, in the shelter. I'd never heard of this kind of
this breed.
Yeah, this breed before. It's the first time for me.
Yeah, Dana and I, because we got there on time,
of course,
we started walking through the kennels, and Dana and I, we go, oh, look, it's a... Oh,
blank.
My God.
Yeah, and you guys had heard of them, I guess, before. Yeah. I had not, and man, what a cool breed of animal. It really is.
Yeah, you don't see them come through the shelters too often, so you'll want to take advantage. You'll get to meet her coming up today. Well, all three of us were sitting here on the Dog and Joe Show. I guess Fleetwood Mac. We're kind of laughing, having a chuckle about this funeral that's going to take place on Super Bowl Sunday in the third quarter. They're going to put the planter's peanut to rest in the third quarter of the Super Bowl.
It's sad and weird and odd.
And ridiculous.
Yeah. And planter's peanut's getting rid of the infamous, what would you call him? Dignified planter's peanut guy. You know the peanut. Yeah, he's got the cane and he had the monocle and the top hat.
He's almost like the Monopoly guy and a peanut combined.
Kind of. You know? Yeah. And he's been around for, 103 or 104 years?
104.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's been around forever. And planters, for whatever dumb reason, they're going to retire him. And instead of sending him off like on a retirement, you know, having a retirement party for him, they're going to have a creepy funeral for the planters guy during the Super Bowl.
It's so weird.
Funeral.
I mean, it is so weird. I don't know why you would do something like that.
So we were talking, Joe and I, we were laughing about it, and we know it's not a Tuesday. Today's a Thursday. But if you could, do you think you can? Can you come up with your favorite, or according to you, most famous food mascots of all time?
Oh, yeah.
I believe so.
Yes. Can you do it?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. 766-9370. According to you, most famous food mascots of all time. It could be fast food. It could be peanuts, beer. Doesn't matter. 766-9370.
One and two aren't enough. Four is too many. Plus, we'll get sued. Three is just right. It's time for the final three. With the Dog and Joe Show.
It's been a while since we've done this. 766-9370. Famous food mascots, according to you. We are celebrating, well, I shouldn't say celebrating, we're mourning.
Yeah.
The loss of the Mr. Peanut from Planters Peanuts, the funeral again, third quarter.
Why they're gonna wait till the second half? Get it over with early.
No. They want to make sure everyone's watching.
I know.
Yeah. And so make arrangements. You can send your well wishes, your flowers and cards to the Planters Company. But it's going to be a very tearful day in the third quarter coming up February 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
So
it's actually kind of funny though, isn't it? They're going to have a funeral for him.
Yeah, but it just sucks that he's going to be gone. It's going to be weird to see the Planters. I mean, I don't eat a lot of Planters peanuts, but it's going to be weird to see that on the shelves without him.
Not only that, think of how much money they're going to have to spend rebranding everything.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
People that buy the peanuts, I mean, use the commercial. Maybe don't use them all the time, but you don't need to get rid of the peanut. You can still leave them on the jar, and it's a good-looking logo. And it's been here for all of our lives. And to get rid of it after all these years, I think it's more of a bad omen than a good one to get rid of them. I think there's more bad luck coming to erase something that's been with you since the beginning.
When you've had it last that long?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. It's not like he's an unpopular thing or a weird mascot or anything
like
that.
He's not killing your peanut sales. It's some stupid exec you hired, you know, 20 years ago that's making the peanuts suck. The sales, that is.
Yeah.
So, 766-9370. Dana's on the phone, Joe. You want to start? Can you come up with your favorite food mascots of all time?
Now, here's the thing. I have way more, obviously, than what's going to be on this list.
But final three.
You had to ask me my top three fast food mascots. I could give them to you.
Okay, and it doesn't have to be fast food. It could be food in general, any product, any category.
Yeah. But I typically, when I'm thinking of them, I'm thinking of like the guys that would be doing restaurant stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, so that's where I would think of mine. But
okay.
I do know what you're talking about with just different items. So for me, number three, most of you young kids may not even remember this. You remember the Noid?
Oh, the pizza Noid.
Yeah, from Domino's.
Yeah.
He was weird and awesome and so creepy.
I always wanted them to call him the annoying Noid because he'd come out and he was kind of angry and kind of funny and he'd hop around and he was kind of a funny looking character. And I'd be willing to bet you, and I don't know this for certain, I'll bet you they debuted him during a Super Bowl. Back in like 1982 or 3 or something.
That's probably where all these big guys come from, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Number two for me is the king. He is the king of all mascots. He will always be the king of mascots. Ronald McDonald.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say the king from Burger King.
He's creepy. He almost made the list.
Remember when the Burger King, he showed up at the Kentucky Derby and he just stood in the stands?
Yes.
And he just stared. Like, it was creepy.
Remember when he was serving them different Whoppers and he would just come out from behind heavy machinery? He would just be on construction lots in the dark and come out from behind like the dozer. And you're like, whoa!
Kids talk about being scared to death to go to sleep at night with clowns. I'm here to tell you, as a grown-ass man, I wake up in the middle of the night and the king's just standing at the foot of my bed, just like he is in the commercials. I'm wet in the bed. I'm not even going to be able to call 911. I probably will be frozen. I couldn't even get a gun to shoot him. I would be mortified.
It is so his eyes. He's got the creepiest human-looking eyes.
And it's his smile. He's kind of smiling, but it's plastic and cold.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
It's so scary.
It really is. It really is. So yeah. He almost made my list. But my number one is just, I just think he's cute and he looks the same everywhere you go. The big boy.
Oh, Bob's.
Yeah, it's Bob's here. It's Elias Brothers up north. It's Frisch's in some places where I grew up. They've got different names for it, but big boy is big boy.
Yeah. You know? Out here, it's Bob's yep. Big boy, and he got his big claim to fame. And I think wasn't it Austin Powers?
I believe so.
Oh, the thing that was flying in the sky in the outer space.
Yeah. Bob's Big Boy yep. detached from the restaurant sign, and it floated up to space.
Yeah. I've just always liked the way he looks. Okay. He's a cute mascot, you know.
Yeah, kind of a chubby cheeked, big round cheeked boy with slick hair.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it reminds me of back home, and you know, I like it.
Yeah. All right. 766-9370. Your favorite or most famous, according to you, mascots. Before we get to Dana, we got to give you a blatant bribe. Text it back to 200-200. It's $1,000. Good luck.
7 o'clock code word is dad. D-A-D to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000 in the 7 o'clock hour, code word is dad. D-A-D to 200-200. Good luck.
All right. Dana, you got the phones. We'll get to those after you. But final three, your favorite or most famous food mascots.
My number three can be summed up by this. Oh, yeah. Do you remember who that is?
Oh,
yeah.
He's red, and he busts through walls.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah. The Kool-Aid Man.
I love him.
Yeah.
And I loved Kool-Aid.
Man, you haven't seen that guy on TV for a while, huh?
I have not seen the Kool-Aid
Family
dude.
Guy. Yeah.
Awesome. Good pick.
Did you guys do this growing up? What I used to call them was poor popsicles. And my mom would make Kool-Aid, and she'd pour them in these ice trays. And before they made this device, you would take Saran wrap after you pulled the Kool-Aid.
Oh, I remember this.
And you'd poke the toothpicks in the mm-hmm. ice tray, and you'd freeze them, and then you'd have these square poor popsicles.
Yeah. Yes.
And then as time went on, like Tupperware or someone, they made these plastic
tubes.
Well,
now they make them long and taller, yeah.
Yeah, and they come with your own stem.
And you can do it with your kids.
Yeah, and you pour the Kool-Aid in there, and then you freeze it. It was like a popsicle, and you're always like, God, Kool-Aid tastes pretty good, but these popsicles suck. And then you'd come running out with your stupid thing on a toothpick, going, ooh, I'm eating a poor popsicle. And some other rich son of a bitch would walk by, and he'd crack open an Otter Pop. The Otter Pop, you know, whatever you call them, the big long tube.
Yeah, that's my nose.
Oh, had so much more flavor, and I always thought, why didn't Otter Pop get into the Kool-Aid business? They were so much sweeter and better.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think even if you mixed up the Kool-Aid as good as you could,
yeah.
It settled to the bottom, so it was mostly just like colored
ice.
Water.
Yeah.
And it didn't taste like the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you couldn't get the Kool-Aid till like the last quarter.
Yeah. It was awful.
Yeah.
Oh, man, a lot of memories of those, actually.
Poor popsicles. That's what we called them on my block.
That is really funny.
Number two for me also can be summed up by a noise. Hoo-hoo! You poke his belly and he goes, hoo-hoo!
I know that.
Oh!
Yep, Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yes!
Love him. It was a big thing. My grandma had the little doll. Now that she's passed away, I have it. And I've always loved it. That little white squishy guy, and he made cookies, and he's just so cute.
Yeah.
And,
thing was so funny Woo-hoo! When you poked his belly.
The commercial I love, though, is when they get him jeans. Have you ever seen that commercial where they buy him jeans? And they're little tiny jeans.
And he has a muffin top.
Yeah. Forever, he was what they call an exhibitionist. The Doughboy was always nude. Naked as a jaybird.
We never thought about it, did we?
No one ever thought about it.
Well, and he has a little kerchief or kind of something sometimes, right? Doesn't he have
a little...
Something around his neck.
Yeah, he's got like a hanky on.
So I guess he is naked otherwise.
Wow, that's funny.
And you know who his nemesis is? This one just came to me. I always wanted to see a fight with this, and it's kind of unfair. But I want you to think about the Hamburger Helper Hand and the Pillsbury Doughboy mano a mano.
You slap him, woo-hoo, slap him, woo-hoo.
That isn't fair because the hand's got more of a grip.
Yeah, all the hand has to do is get the Doughboy in his clutches and then just
squeeze.
Oh, don't say that about the Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah,
but if the Doughboy could get a finger.
Oh, goodness.
Start breaking him.
Yeah. Start breaking him.
He grabs him by the finger and pulls
back. Could you imagine kids watching that?
No. Remember, Dan, I don't know if you ever remember this, but there was a dude named, he was kind of a ripoff of the Doughboy, but he had like red lips and stuff. His name was Mr. Bill. Yeah, every time Mr. Bill would get into trouble, he'd always go, "Oh no, Mr. Bill!"
And he was where that came from.
Yeah, and he would get run over and stuff. But I want you to think,
Mr. Bill's like a clay thing.
Yeah. He was an old skit from back in the day. He was funny.
Yes. Yeah,
but think about this though: the hamburger helper hand. He gets the Doughboy on his back, you know, and he just takes that one index finger with a glove
do
on it.
Do not. And do yeah, that and the Doughboy's going, Doughboy.
And the hamburger helper doesn't relent. It just pushes the button. And he could just kind of like tickle him to death.
Don't do that.
Eat a hooze until he's flat.
The hamburger helper hand just with one index finger just pushes him and he laughs to death. It just goes right through his belly.
I mean, if that's the way he's going to go, that's the way he's going to go. But don't do that.
These are our favorites. We're not going to octagon
him. Morbid.
Someone's got to get a food mascot fight. But that's a good one, Dana. Who do you pick for number one?
Number one, he also has a catchphrase. He goes, "They're great." And he's a tiger.
Oh,
that's Tony.
Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
Tony
the Tiger. I love him.
Excellent. That's pretty good.
Excellent pick.
Here's the thing about Tony the Tiger. He seems like a really stand-up guy.
He's not only that, he's buff.
He's muscular.
He's buff, yeah. But he's nice, and he likes kids, and he does cool things for kids. Like, Tony the Tiger just seems like a really good dude.
Yeah.
And his voice matches him.
Yeah.
His
voice
fits him.
He looks good. It's like, you know what? You're going out on a date. That's a wingman. Tony the Tiger, dude. I mean, you go to the bar, you're leaving with chicks.
Joe, ideas for you.
Well, how do you get him?
Well, you don't.
Well, I mean, that would be fun. Are you kidding me? I need that dude.
Yeah, this is what would happen with Joe. He'd call Tony the Tiger. Tony the Tiger would answer. You know, you go, "Hello?" And Joe would go, "Yeah, hey, Tony, I was wondering this weekend if you wanted to go out and maybe grab a bowl of cereal."
He'd say, "You're not great."
Yeah. He'd say, "You won't get a date." Tony was like, "You know what, man? That's what I do for a living, bro. I sell cereal to kids, but on the weekends, bro, I like to go out skirt chasing. I thought you called me to take you out of the town, but no, you want to get together when you need cereal?"
Or you start talking about a girl with him, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, she's great." In bed.
Tony, you're supposed to be an optimist.
Yeah. 766-9370. Michael, any mascots that you remember and love?
Radio down.
Hey guys, first time caller, hands free.
That's evident. Yeah.
Welcome, neighbor.
Growing up, I always liked the Chuck E. Cheese mascots, and specifically the animatronics inside the little
the band.
Turn your radio off, please, Michael.
Okay, sorry.
There you go. Yeah.
Like animatronics? I thought they were pretty cool. Yeah.
You like Chuck Cheese and all the dancing dolly and all that stuff they had there. You know they're getting rid of those those creaky, squeaky dolls. They're going to remove them from all the restaurants.
Yeah. And I got a funny story is when I lived with my dad in Lodi, there was a house down the street.
I know this house. I've driven by it. I'll thundersteal this guy.
Up front.
Yeah, he had the giant rat.
How did he get them?
In a two-story house in a glass entrance over by is it Rivergate or over there off Turner? Is where this neighborhood is, and my wife and I were just driving around one day, and it was one of the creepiest things ever. It's like a two-story rat was in the front of their house.
No way!
Yeah.
Did it move, or is it just stagnant?
No, it just sat there.
It's just stationary. Yeah,
it was just a giant furry mascot that they got from one of the two-story Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yeah. How did he get
there? It's a huge window.
Yeah, I don't know if the guy owned Chuck E. Cheese or what, but yeah, that's a true story. I've seen that house, and that rat's not there anymore because that house is up for sale.
Oh, the guy took it with him.
Oh, the real estate agent didn't want to leave it up.
Yeah.
Well, I think that'd be a hot selling point.
Yeah. No joke, dude. My wife and I were just driving around. We're cruising through this neighborhood. And I grabbed my wife's chest. I was like, "Whoa," like hit the brakes.
Yeah.
She was driving. I go, "Look." And it's a two-story Chuck Cheese rat in someone's house.
So did he build the glass case into the house?
Yeah. It was like a glass stairway or a foyer that had glass, and the rat sat in there.
Foyer. It's a foyer.
Yeah, the foyer.
Foyer.
Wow, what a great story.
So, okay, any other mascots?
I always liked the Cocoa Puff cereal guy.
Was that a moose? What was that?
He's a bird.
I don't know what
a bird.
Yeah, he's a bird.
Like a dodo bird looking thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, Michael, appreciate the share.
Yeah, that was
did
fun.
He always go, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he was a bird, wasn't he?
Yes. Oh,
just again, so ridiculous. Kids weren't smart enough to see through this. All he was the toucan from Fruit Loops when he was chocolate.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
rebranded
true.
Him.
That's
yeah.
a good point.
Hey, that's smart of Kellogg.
I didn't even think of that till right now.
Stupid. Let's go to Sean. Sean, good morning. Your favorite of the most famous food mascots for you. Welcome.
Hey, so the one first thing that came to mind was Yo Quiero.
Chihuahua.
Everybody loved that little dog.
All right, fair enough. I thought he was kind of annoying. That was kind of like when Taco Bell, they started losing it when they got into that dog thing, and then they started living moss. That's when they were kind of directionless. They didn't know what they were trying to do, and there was this dog, and for me, I didn't like that.
That was the Yo Quiero Taco Bell days, right?
Yeah, the Chihuahua.
I did like that.
I had a ton of the dogs that they would give you. Like, you could buy the little dogs, and they all had the little voice boxes in them.
Yeah.
And it just would echo throughout the house all the time. Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
Oh, man. I bet your mom and dad love that.
Do you have any more, Sean?
The only other one I could think of would be the Fruit Loops Pelican.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
Iconic.
Yeah, that's the toucan we was just talking about, mm-hmm. Toucan Sam.
Yeah, he was Toucan Sam. Yeah.
Toucan Sam, there we go.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go to Ed, or Eric, rather. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning?
Good,
bro. How are you?
Good. I was thinking back to the Where's the Beef days with Clara Peller.
The old lady.
Yes.
Not really a mascot. I guess we didn't set up the parameters or the rules, but she was a big part of Wendy's.
Iconic, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a movie, too, at one point in time, where they had to get around. Like, they put her in there as, like, a weird little out-of-place thing, and they were trying to get around her in one of those end-of-the-earth deals, and they were following the Where's the Beef lady in one of these B-movies I was watching. That's the last time I've ever seen her.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I mean, how weird they'd bring her back like that. I think that made an impression on people.
Do you have any others?
You know, everybody else has pretty much mentioned all the ones I remember from...
All right, then I'll make it fun. Appreciate the call. I got to get to mine.
I can only imagine. Now, are these mascots clothes? Are these sex mascots?
In at number three. Fair question. In at number three, a young lady by the name Mistress of the Dark. Elvira.
Oh, that's a solid one.
Elvira.
That is solid.
What is she a mascot for?
Dana, Google Elvira,
well,
Mistress of the Dark.
Well, I know who she is.
Coors Light.
Really?
Yes. Elvira would come out, and she would have this tight dress on, and I mean, the Mistress of the Dark, her pumpkins were hanging out.
Goodness.
And she was always just so pale-skinned, and her hair was kind of like Joan Jett's, but longer, and she came out in this satin black dress. And
but I thought her thing was, like, she did shows. I didn't know she was on a Coors bottle.
No, she was a Coors mascot during Halloween for years and years and years. Budweiser, you know, Bud Light and all that, they had that stupid Spuds McKenzie.
He was cool.
Yeah. So what does Coors Light do, really? You're going to sell Bud Light with a dog and a spot on its eye? This bull terrier? No. Call Elvira. And Elvira came out, Mistress of the Dark, and she'd sell Coors Light during Halloween and stuff. And oh my goodness, boy, did she make me drink it.
I bet she did.
It's so cute. They have a cauldron and it says her favorite brews and it has all Coors in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Elvira.
That's solid remembering that one, man.
Mm-hmm.
In at number two, since that guy got to pick the old Wendy's lady, in at number two, I got to do this. Coolest, most iconic logo ever. They even make whistles from this iconic mascot.
What?
And it's not really a mascot or traditional mascot, but it is a mascot. It's the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You don't even eat hot dogs.
No.
Or bologna.
I hate hot dogs. That's the thing. It's the greatest marketing piece ever. It's so great, it won't sell me a hot dog. But I see the car and the wiener that's curled on there, and I think, man, that is cool. I love that car. I would drive that car. It's like a giant D on wheels.
It's very phallic. You're right.
Man. Yeah. But over the years, it's become more modernized. The lines are more contoured. It became more aerodynamic. And you see that, and you know what they're selling. You
absolutely
know what it is. And I love that car.
Look at the people's faces when you see them driving it.
They're happy.
Didn't you tell me the kids that get that job usually end up at a nice marketing, you know, agency or something afterwards?
They just did it again this year. Oh, yeah. They give them internships. They pay them
cool.
good.
Yeah,
and
they get a really good job, huh?
They drive around, and they are the stewards of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Wienermobile, and there's like four or five of them or six of them that have different territories, but they bomb around in that Wienermobile, and I always thought, man, if I could get one of those jobs, I'd go around, and what I would do is drive by squirtings.
Ew,
oh my lord.
No.
Drive by squirting with ketchup and mustard.
Okay, sure. Save it. Yeah, that's right.
In at number one, and I'm surprised no one has mentioned this. He's kind of dirty too. And he's always ornery. He's lost his edge over the years, and I haven't eaten there in years. But the king for my category, it's gotta be Jack.
Oh yeah. Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's solid right there.
Jack goes bungee jumping because they tell Jack he needs to try new things, and he bungee jumps, and his pointy hat sticks right in the concrete, and he lifts his hand up and he goes, "New things."
They did get real dirty with him for a minute.
Plays dirty Scrabble.
Yeah. Yeah. They spell dirty words. Yeah. And I always loved Jack. And that was one of the funniest, most. Think about this. They're the size of Schnauzer, but they're cattle.
That is the funniest commercial I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
That really is.
I love that commercial.
I love that one.
Love that. So there you go. Coming up at 8 o'clock, it is a Thursday, even though you wouldn't tell by that topic.
No.
We have another beautiful, adorable, adoptable to showcase, courtesy of Front Street Animal Shelter. So you'll meet her. Then at 8:30, we've got Paul Reiser. The other thing we got to do is we got to give you a Bon Jovi jumble in 15 minutes.
Yep. We'll find a furry new friend and give them their forever home.
Always excited to do a Thursday for you, courtesy of the Front Street Animal Shelter. This week's adorable adoptable goes by the name of Topaz. We did not name her. That was the name on the card. And Dana, is it because of her eyes?
I think so. Her eyes are very topaz in color.
Yeah.
So, and
she's got, yeah, one color, and then she's got a steely gray marble in the other side. And Topaz is what they call a Calahoula.
Calahoula.
Calahoula. And she's got a tail, but it's been sport cut. So when they dock the tails with hunting dogs, they leave it a little bit longer. They call it a sport cut.
Okay.
And or a hunt cut or whatever, but it's a longer tail.
To give them some balance issues back there running and whatnot.
Yeah, and going through the water and stuff. And do you know this? Do you know why they cut the tails?
I don't. Mm-mm. I've never, ever known why.
And a lot of people, they hate it. And like over in England or Canada, some places really, they detest this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it's mutilation of the animal. I like the way it looks when it's done right. And I got Berkeley from Front Street. I wish Berkeley had a longer docked tail.
Yeah.
Because I hate when they dock it too short. But the reason they do that is so when they're in the water or they're out hunting or treeing or going through the field, yeah, the tail does help with balance. But what it does is it also gets caught in things. So if they're going through the brush or they're coming out of stuff, that tail getting hooked on something can actually hinder them.
Oh.
So if you dock it, they can go through the terrain or through the water a little bit easier, and it's not getting in the way and it's not getting caught, because a lot of times it could get caught on something and rip the tail off while they're out in the woods.
Running fast through there trying to catch them or what. Because back in the days, they really used, I mean, we use hunting dogs now, but they really used them.
They used them to eat?
Fox hunting and all kind of stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Calahoula comes from. You're going to watch the video, and what you hear me say dumbly is that it's some type of cattle or herding dog, okay, is what I thought a Calahoula was mixed with.
Because I was asking him, because I had never heard of this breed of dog before. I can't believe I've never heard of them.
And they're pretty, and they're different,
mm-hmm.
but they are part of a cattle dog, just not like an Australian or any of those. They are a Louisiana hog dog, okay?
Oh,
wow.
It says here that it's a Native American dog, and it comes from Spanish Mastiffs, Greyhounds, and maybe others, but the Calahoula was created to track and drive feral hogs and cattle when it was time to butcher them.
Huh.
So they are very aggressive with those large animals.
And tough.
Tough, and they herd them, and they're not quite like a border collie. You know, where they go out and they're just neurotic like that. These dogs have a lot more calmness in them, but they always have all these different cracked eyes or different colored eyes, and they have all that different spotting on them. And I'm trying to find the thing here, what they call this. Oh, they call it a leopard dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's called a leopard dog.
The spotting.
Yeah, the spotting and all that. And it says that the reason they're like that is so they could go through the forests and the swamps. And mm-hmm. when you look at the color, think about that dog coming out of the swamp hunting a hog.
You'd never see him. Yeah. You would never see that thing. He'd be able to get close if he was quiet.
Yeah, so I didn't know a lot about the breed. I'd seen the breeds, but I had no idea that that's where they're derived from. But this young girl, Topaz, Very, very cute. She has had at least a litter of puppies,
mm-hmm.
and she's almost 4 years old, but the demeanor, the calmness, and she warms up to people really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And does not pull an inch on the leash.
Yeah, she was very good on a leash.
It was so sweet. We were walking her back and forth, and whoever would, you know, be behind her, she would always, not necessarily stop walking, but always turn her head around to make sure the whole group was coming. It was just, she's a really sweet, sweet, loving dog.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah.
She is cool. And she's a little roughed up. Slightly. She's had some surgery done.
Yep.
But she's okay now, and she's got some concrete marking on the elbows. But with a good, stable, loving home, consistent care and all that, she'll be fine. And mentally, she's sound, and she's happy, and she's really cool.
Yeah, she is. She was neat, dude. She was really, really cool. I had never seen anything like that, and I got to tell you what, if one of those ever comes up available and I'm needing a big dog, I would be happy to have that.
Yeah, and what do you think she weighs? Is she a 55-pounder?
She 45? Might be.
Probably so, yeah.
And not too tall in height.
She's not huge. She's definitely not, I mean, when dog says mixed with a Spanish Mastiff, she's not Presa Canaria size.
No, she's smaller. She's very small. Yeah. And I want to go through some of the breed characteristics because a lot of people may not know what a Calahoula is, but it says it adapts well to apartment living. Okay, and then what they do is they rate these based on stars 1 to 5. So, does not do good in apartment living. Okay?
Oh, does not.
Does not.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes. Good for novice owners. Not so much. Sensitivity level, 2 stars. Tolerates being alone, 2 stars. Tolerates cold weather, 3 stars. Tolerates hot weather, 3 stars. You could go through and look at the breed specifics.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a finicky dog when you read through here, but we've met a lot of dogs, and she was really, really adaptable and affectionate with family. All around friendliness, 1 through 5 on the star rating, 5.
Easily.
Aww.
Yeah, you could easily see that. Yeah.
So they're really, really good dogs, and if you give them a little something to do, they're going to be even better. But something tells me that Topaz is ready to hit the couch.
I think so. Aww. I mean, even at her young age, at 4, I would think she's definitely going to be a snuggle one, man. She just really, really, and she seemed to like girls.
Yeah.
You know, she seemed to really be a lady-friendly animal.
Yeah, she took to Joe like in no time.
Really. I mean, really like me. Nah, she really is a sweetheart, man. I hope someone takes her home and gives her a lot of love because she could use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's cute. And again, she has had at least 1 litter of pups. So there's some stuff kind of dangling, but it's not excessive.
No.
But she is a really, really good girl, about 4 years of age, which is a perfect age. And I think you get her home, you love her, you clean her up. She's going to be a great dog. She's pretty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to like her.
So check it out. Dana's got the code up. You can go down to Front Street today. You can take her home today because she is already altered.
Spayed. Yeah.
So she can go home today. She'll be chipped, vaccinated. She's already spayed. She can be with you by 12:15 today.
Mm-hmm. And it's that easy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it is that easy. Yeah, go down there and get her. You're going to be very, very happy bringing her home.
Watch the Facebook video. Dana's got the code. All you got to do is go to the Dog and Joe Show Facebook page. Okay, it is now time for Bon Jovi Jumble.
Woo-hoo!
Day 4. Show's going to happen coming up June 13th. It's a Saturday night, and tickets officially on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. if you want to see Bon Jovi and Bryan Adams. I want to make sure this is the correct clip. It may not be, so let's do it on the air.
Okay.
let's be really professional about this.
Love that. You can blame it on the technical difficulties.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
They haven't slowed you down too bad today.
I just want to make sure this is the right clip, so let me take a listen here, okay? Joe, if you and Dana can entertain him for a second.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what he's doing. He's doing it in private, so he's not going to lay it all out there on the line. He's not quite sure he's got what he needs yet, does he?
Is this the hard one or the easy one or the expert level?
You know how it works, Dan. He'll listen to it just like this, and then he's still going to play the one he doesn't need.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's probably what he's going to end up playing. Keep it in your pants over there.
He made the other Bon Jovi jumble during one song.
Yeah, I know.
The other day. I can't believe it. Is that it?
Sounds like thank God. Yeah, okay. Way to go, guys. Way to kill time. I got it now.
I got it. Hey, dude, I got 5-10 more minutes in me.
Wow. Boy, I don't.
I had another story.
So, we're going to play it for you. All songs in order. You got to correctly identify them with the correct title. Take a listen to today's Bon Jovi Jumble. There you go.
Wow. Whoa.
There you go.
That almost sounded like two songs over like over each other.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. All you got to do is give us the song titles. And again, it could be Bon Jovi and or Bryan Adams. It could be all Bryan Adams. It could be all Bon Jovi. We don't know.
Dadgone, that's a tough one, dude.
Take that's another true. Listen. Bon Jovi Jumble. Easy.
Ooh, man.
Easy.
Woo! I couldn't even tell you how many songs are in that.
Same. I can't either.
Well, of course you can.
I have no idea. 766-9370. I'll play it one more time. Yeah. We'll play The Doors. We'll come back and see who's going to walk away with these tickets to see the show. Bryan Adams, Bon Jovi, officially on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. Take one more listen. Seven six six 9370. First one to get through, correctly identify all songs in order. I think it was Doors, Riders on the Storm. Time for your Bon Jovi Jumble. Here is your 8 o'clock listen, okay? Please pay attention. Collect the songs in order by correct song title. All you got to do is be the first one through at 766-9370. You will get the tickets before they go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. Take another listen. And I'll do it for you one more time, then we'll go to the phone. Wow, there you go. Man. Bon Jovi Jumble.
Dog and Joe.
No. Oh, no. Dana, what the hell did you do there?
Remember, we're messed lay it up on today, her. Huh?
766-9370. All you got to do is correctly identify those songs, and we will get you hooked up. Let's go to the phone right now. Dana, who do we have first?
Thomas.
Thomas, do you know the Bon Jovi Jumble?
Hey, oh, God, I'll go with, well, I know the last one, but...
No. Start at halfway, the beginning.
Halfway there.
Is that the song title?
It doesn't sound like it is.
I'm right with you, bro. It's so difficult this morning.
I didn't know what he was asking me.
Oh, my God. He's fantastic.
Oh,
you're great, bro.
Take another listen to the Bon Jovi Jumble. All right, 766-9370, and our apologies today. We have a lot of technical stuff going on that's out of our control. Our apologies. We've been fighting stuff all day, so sorry.
Yeah, but we'll get it.
Hopefully, yeah, because it's 8:15. 766-9370. Give us all the song titles in order. Correct title. Take one more listen. We'll come back. All right, back to the Bon Jovi Jumble. In order, correct song title. If you can correctly identify all these songs, you will get the tickets to go see Bryan Adams, Bon Jovi, June 13th, Saturday night at the Golden One. Take another listen. There you go. All you got to do is correctly identify him. Shelly, you're here. You think you can do it. Go ahead.
Third time's a charm, so I'm going to try this time.
Okay.
Runaway. You got this.
Okay, start at the top again.
Runaway.
Got it.
You Give Love a Bad Name.
You got it.
Yes.
Runaway.
You got it.
Woo!
Lay Your Hands on Me.
Oh, goodness, you got it.
Straight From the Heart.
Whoa, you got it.
And Runaway.
Yes, she did it.
Dirty devil, you. You put that in there a lot.
Three times.
Woo! Yes.
My goodness.
Wow. Nicely done. Hang on, Shelly. You get the tickets before they go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Great job, man.
Yeah, great job.
Wow.
And are you picking up the theme by this? Have you seen a pattern?
A little bit.
What's the pattern?
Runaway.
Yeah. Runaway has been featured at least once, if not more times, every Bon Jovi jumble, because, just like Tom Hanks, should have hung up his career after Bosom Buddies or at most Bachelor Party.
Even found a way to get a dig in for Hanks here.
Yes.
I know, ridiculous.
Bon Jovi should have come out with Runaway and then retired. That was the greatest song that they ever made.
Is that why you're doing it?
Yeah, so every time we do a Bon Jovi jumble up to this point, it has showcased that song, and that's why, because that's the best song they've ever done.
Is that a spoiler alert for tomorrow?
Oh, no. No, no, no. Hmm. I won't use that song at all tomorrow. take another listen in case you didn't catch it. There you go.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent job, Shelly.
Runaway, you give love a bad name. Runaway, lay your hands on me straight from the heart, Bryan Adams, and then Runaway to close it out. So, good job, Shelly. Back tomorrow, 8 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're going to give you that blatant bribe here in 5 minutes, and we're going to have Paul Reiser on the phone. He's doing a show Saturday night at the Crest Theater. We've had him on before. He's funny. We like him. He acts like he likes us.
Yeah.
So. Because AC/DC, Highway to Hell, if you go back through the Facebook, I think on Monday or Tuesday, Dana posted this up, AC/DC working on brand new stuff, so that'll be kind of cool to hear. We'll keep you posted on that. We got to kill a little bit of time here because Paul Reiser is supposed to call at 8:30, and what I've found throughout doing this almost 30 years is celebrities, comedians, actors, all the people that aren't rock stars usually have better timepieces, meaning they usually call on time. Rock stars, you know, hey, we'll call you guys at 8:30. They call it like 9:30 2 days later. But last time, Paul Reiser was prompt, so I'm killing a little bit of time here to hopefully see if he does call through. And we are going to talk to him because Paul Reiser from Mad About You, you know, he was on Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, yeah.
Stranger Things recently and a reboot of Mad About You. That's coming out and doing a show at the Crest Theater Saturday night. So Paul Reiser, he's going to be here in just a second, and we'll kill some time. Hopefully he will be on after Joe gives you that blatant bribe code word. Text that back to 200-200.
All right. Your 8 o'clock code word is age. A-G-E to 200-200. For your chance at $1,000, the 8 o'clock code word is age. A-G-E to 200-200. Good luck.
All right, here we go. Dana, is this Paul Reiser?
That's him.
Wow, oh my God. Paul Reiser back again. Welcome, good morning.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Nice to see you. I'm not at all insulted that right before I'm on the air, you're talking about age is the password.
Yes.
I don't take that personally.
Please do not.
So
clever of you to do that.
Yes, Paul, if you don't mind, can you give us your age right now?
I am a vibrant 31.
Whoa! Oh, yeah.
All right.
Fantastic. You look great.
Yeah, don't I? Well, actually, you know what? I should go the other way. For 77, I look great.
I know that Joe and Dana, they're going to rib me about this, but I was...
Nobody ribs me.
I was fortunate enough to see you on the talk the other day, and I saw you on there, and I saw you talking about you getting bald. And all the work you have to go through to make your real hair that everyone has always thought was fake disappear.
No kidding.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, well, yes, I had this. They made this lovely bald cap that did such a good job, and it was so convincing that people would write. I've got a lot of calls and social media going, yeah, did you see him finally? He took off that wig. I went, no, they were just very good. But that's how convincing they were.
Yeah. poor Paul, man. Everyone thought he had a toupee on.
Yeah, but it's good because someday I probably will. And they'll all be ready for it. It won't be a jolt.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, it breaks you in. It gets you ready for baldness.
Exactly. Believe me.
So, one, we're having you back because you're doing the show at the Crest Theater. But the main reason you're back on the radio is because we always have people that survive Stockton come on the air. And the last time that we had you on, you were doing a show in Stockton, and that's what you came on to promote. And we wanted to congratulate you and your
life.
Your life and your warrior-like mentality that helped you fight through that show to live another day after Stockton.
You know what? And it was a lovely show, as I remember. It was a lovely town, and everything you said about bad about Stockton, you should take back.
Okay, I will.
I made it out safe and sound. That's all we care about, Paul.
Yeah. Yes, I'll be at the Crest Theater in Sacramento, where I actually was there a couple of years ago. It's a beautiful theater, but I had to come back. This is the extent of my tour. Every couple of weeks, I go somewhere.
Well, I like how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how tight it is.
Yeah. So what are we going to get at the Crest Theater from Paul Reiser Saturday night?
You're going to get things. You're going to get things, my friend. You're going to get things. Here's what you're not going to get. I like it. It's easier to go what you're not going to get. No magic, no singing, no dancing, no politics, no free giveaways, no free cars. And what else would you not like? No beating. There'll be no beatings.
No beatings.
Perfect. Good. No beatings. Good. Gonna hold back on the dancing this time, though.
No, there might be some dancing. But here's what I think I might have said this last time, but I have this money-back guarantee. If anybody comes to the show at the Crest Theater, Saturday night, 7:30, come to the show and you're not fully satisfied, I come back next year and I take you to see somebody funnier.
Whoa!
Good choice. Now, the comic, I'll take you.
Now, Paul, do you put a cap on that? Like, if the entire audience is dissatisfied, do you take them all? Or is it just one?
I'm willing to take that chance. If a full theater's worth of people go, you know what? He's no good. Then I got to do some rethinking.
If we can, Paul, let's go back to Beverly Hills Cop. Because
you want to do that?
Yeah, oh, man. That's the first time I saw you, and I know it was a small part, but it was a really key part at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And from there, you became the Paul Reiser that we all know. Did you think at that time doing that little bit role was going to take off and do what you've done now? Did you have any idea?
Well, I do remember thinking, you know, someday I'm going to be talking about this in Sacramento on the radio. And I did clock that. I knew that would come back. So that was yes. No, you know what? I don't know anything, and nobody knows anything. So, you know, I had a part in Diner that was by accident. The director of Beverly Hills Cop saw that, and he said, he should be in this. So I had that little thing. And because of that little thing, I got Aliens, and because of that, you know, everything.
I loved Aliens.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, somebody somewhere said, you know, he should write his own show, and that became Mad About You, and then that really opened things up. So,
well,
you never know.
The last time you were on, when we promoted that last show a couple years ago, we asked you about Mad About You, Paul, and you lied to us because we said we heard it might be coming back, and you couldn't give any details, which I know you couldn't.
Right. That's not a lie. That's an evasive.
That's an omission.
Yeah, but now you and Helen Hunt, you're coming back, and this thing is going to happen.
Back. We did it. It's behind us. We already made them. Go watch them.
Oh, yeah,
we made 12 new episodes, and they were really fun to do, and it was a great joy, and they came out great. And they're available on Spectrum. I don't know if Spectrum TV is even available up in your area. It's like right below Al Jazeera. It's one step below Al Jazeera. That's how big it is.
Just so you know, Paul, Sacramento, last week we just got dial-up internet.
We like it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
We've been really missing it out.
It might be a minute before you get there.
So, I saw this too when you were on The Talk there on CBS. You came on and
he watches a lot of The Talk.
God bless you.
I watch a lot of CBS. And you know what, Paul? I try to find you on every show I can. I'm a big Paul fan.
That's all I would ask.
But you said that as soon as you and Helen walked onto the set, and I think, what was it, a 20-year hiatus?
Yeah.
You said it felt just as natural, normal, and comfortable as when you left.
It was crazy. Cool. Well, she and I had stayed friends, you know, and we had seen each other all the time over the 20 years. So it wasn't like, hey, how you been? So we knew each other. We walked through this together. You know, we decided we were going to do it, and we went and, you know, we were writing. We were in the writing room and everything. So it was a long process of getting together. But the real kick was when all the rest of the original cast came in and we got onto that set. And you walk around it's basically like your childhood home. You go back and you go, oh, I know where everything is. Here's the refrigerator. Here's the bathroom. And it all came back. And it was great fun. And it was great fun because we knew it was going to be a limited number. So let's just do 12. And, you know, who knows, maybe someday there'll be some more. But, you know, we didn't have the pressure of, like, we got to do 24 of them and we have to have 4 or 5 years of them. It's like, no, we're just going to come back and have one sort of fun lap.
I think what you should do, Paul, you and Helen, and God forbid, you know, anything happened, but I think you guys are both healthy. I think you guys should do Mad About You every 20 years so we can watch you guys age.
Yes, like time-lapse photography, exactly.
Yeah.
See, right back to the age. You circle right back to the
We start you off with it, we bring it right back to it.
I think
that's cool, though, that you did that.
It is cool. And I want to say this because I've got a 17-year-old, and you touched on something the other day. You talked about Empty Nest when I believe it was your son, you said, was getting ready to go to college, which my wife and I are getting ready to deal with. You were being, I think, sincere when you said it really ripped a hole into you.
Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal. You know what's even more brutal? When they come back. It hurts either way. Coming and going, it hurts. No, it was, you know, you hear about that empty nest. It sounds like, you know, it's just a phrase. It doesn't mean anything. And then you go, oh, it's really quiet in here. This is empty. Because, you know, when you have a kid, all your energy, and even if it is spent on the kid and worrying about the kids, and you take them out of the equation for a second. So not only are you missing them, but you're staring at your husband, your wife, your partner, and you're going, oh, it's just us now. What do you want to talk about? like, what was that thing you said last 18 years ago you were talking about?
yeah. Can you pick up on that?
Up again.
Is there any excitement, though? Because my wife and I think guys more so, maybe not you, but me, I kind of envision when he goes off to college, there's going to be a lot of, like, you know, clothes in piles and a lot of, like, naked chasing.
Oh,
and,
really?
And there's going to be a lot more fun between the mom and the dad again because our boy's going to be gone.
Dog's very sexually driven, Paul.
Well, I'm thinking
well,
that's
good. Well, that so that takes care of 20 minutes. But
that's right.
you got the rest of your life to deal with.
Paul,
you know what I'm saying?
Did you hear it right now? Paul Reiser said 20 minutes. Paul Reiser's into tantric sex.
I was being generous to you.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
I said, listen, here's the best 2 or 3 minutes of your life.
Yeah.
Then you're on your own.
Yeah. Paul, we always love having you on.
We
and
sure
anytime
do.
You want to talk to us, you know, whether you're doing a show here or not.
We'll see you Saturday night at the beautiful Crest Theater.
Yeah.
And that guarantee holds. That guarantee stands.
Give it to him one more time.
Anybody who's not fully satisfied, if you leave that theater and don't say, wow, what a fun time I had, I'll come back next year and take you to see a funnier person of your choosing.
check it out. This Saturday night, it's going to happen at the Crest Theater. Paul Reiser, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
See you there. Thanks.
All right, take care. There he goes. Show's going to happen 7:30. And just so you know, all these people, when they call and they talk to us and all that, this poor guy, he's in his car, he's in the airport, he's in the hotel. Everywhere he goes, he's got to do these interviews.
Sure.
Because when you go out on tour, you know, you want people to come.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got his whole morning and day booked. He's got to call. He's got to go do TV shows. He's got to call radio shows. He's got to do all this stuff. So we know he's busy, and he's always got a short amount of time. But he's a good guy. He's funny.
Well,
he's
explaining so fun. That the way you just did just lets everyone know. So he gives you that much charisma and personality and joy and speaks and talks. So he does that with everyone.
Well, yeah, you know? But I've never been to a Paul Reiser show. He might be gassed by the time he gets here to the Crest. He might just get on stage and just sit down and go, guys, I'm tuckered. I've been interviewing and doing junkets all over. I got nothing for you. I got to take you up on that offer. Uncle, I'll take you to see a funnier show next time I come here.
Who's coming in town next year? You know?
Yeah.
See you then.
So there you go. It's going to happen Saturday night. Paul Reiser at the Crest. Showtime 7:30. You know what to do if you want to get the tickets. Okay. We got to do a commercial break. Then we're going to come back. We got to do Celebrities Behaving Badly still.
Yeah, we do.
Boy.
I think.
Celebrities are great, but bad celebrities are even better. It's time for Celebrities Behaving Badly on the Dog and Joe Show.
I got a few celebrities today, plus we've got an update on that Aerosmith battle between Aerosmith, the band, all four members, versus Joey Kramer, the drummer.
There's more now, huh?
There is more, yes. The story unfolds, the plot thickens. First, though, we have to talk about the judge who ordered Hunter Biden to appear in court next week for the hearing in the high-profile paternity case brought by the Arkansas woman. The order from the Arkansas judge in the case brought by London Alexis Roberts comes after Biden, you know, son of former VP Joe Biden, mm-hmm. trying to become president again, failed to provide financial information in violation of a separate court order. So now Hunter Biden must appear and show cause, if any exist, as to why he should not be held in contempt for any of the alleged violations of the court's orders.
Hmm.
So this whole thing stems from this, you know, stripper that he met and had a child, and they were fighting over custody. First, they fought over DNA, whether or not the kid was his. And then they found out, yeah, the kid is yours. And then there was fight over what they were going to do with custody or monies and yada, yada, yada. Some other stuff popped up that he had to go back to court for, which he did not. So the circuit court judge, Holly Meyer, wrote in a one-sentence order telling him, yes, you must appear in court. You have to come to court, Hunter Biden, on January 29th. You, even though your father's running for Democratic, will not get out of this court hearing because he's been dodging around and this and that and the other. Now he's got to go to court, and they're going to boil it down.
Oh, man. If, I mean, you took the test. You know it's your kid.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that now. There's more to it.
Now
yeah.
they've discovered above and beyond.
Yeah, if there's going to be any other financial blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, Dad, he's got to just be so proud of Hunter Biden right now. And mm-hmm. what this does for his image is he tries to get elected as president or at least win the nomination for the Democratic side. And, wow, fantastic young man Hunter is.
Hey, of all the things to get in trouble for that don't really get you in trouble, skipping on some child support and kind of, that's not a good looking thing to have on your books.
No, and again, I don't want to trivialize like a DUI or something else.
No,
if you heard something in the news about Hunter Biden, you know, he left a DC bar and had a couple too many drinks and they pulled him over and he blew a dirty test, a lot of people would be like, oh, okay.
It's not great. Not great. Not good.
But skipping court dates and knocking up strippers and saying that the kids aren't yours and all.
Making her take paternity tests. And then, yeah. I mean, that looks rough.
Yeah, yeah. Way to go, Joe. You raised a good one.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know he's upset.
Yeah, and you know as soon as he, you know, gets on the phone with Dad, you know, the first thing Dad says is, do you smell her hair?
Oh, good God.
What her hair smell like? All right, now we go to this. The latest on Robert Downey Jr. I can't believe this is still an issue.
Robert Downey Jr.?
But it is. Robert Downey Jr. has donned a number of disguises in more than his 30 years of show business. Mm-hmm. But one of his most famous or infamous was when he wore blackface in the 2008 Tropic Thunder movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, and what Downey said is, I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Mm-hmm. That was the famous line from that.
Yeah. So he opened up about this controversial role, and he talked about it because a lot of people are like, whoa, 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 we can't watch this anymore. Robert Downey Jr., you should feel bad about this.
Oh, really?
You wore blackface even though nobody cared about it back in 2008. People still keep bringing it up. And what Downey Jr. said, he said, I think that it's never an excuse to do something that's out of place and out of its time, but to me, it blasted the cap on the issue. He said, I think having a moral psychology is job one. Sometimes you just got to go, yep, I effed up. But in my defense, Tropic Thunder is about how wrong blackface is.
Yeah.
So I take exception. So basically all the people out there, if you don't like it and you don't understand what he was doing, then shut your mouth because it wasn't racial.
You didn't watch the movie clearly anyway. They highlighted everyone's problems. Jack Black was coming off of heroin. He wanted to sink his teeth into a raw, I just want to bite its flesh. He was talking about white and cat. They took anything that you went through and accentuated it to craziness level.
I mean, there's other things they talk about. They talk about special needs people. They make fun of that. Yeah. I mean, there's Simple Jack in the movie, and there's a whole bunch of stuff.
And he went way overboard with Simple
Jack. It was basically, that's what it was. It was a platoon, if you will, or a gathering of just misfits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were all jacked up. What was a
Danny they were filming a movie, and in reality, they were being fought by the Viet Cong or whatever it was over there. Yeah.
And they were all these misfits that were too stupid.
Their director got blown up by landmines.
Wasn't Tom Cruise in that too?
Tom Cruise was in it at one point, yes.
Yeah.
And his character was so wild from making fun of Les Moonves.
Yes.
He was so wildly popular, they invited him back on Saturday Night Live as that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And Danny McBride, wasn't he the pyro guy?
Yeah.
He was the explosive technician.
He loved to
And he blew it up.
Yeah.
He straight blew that forest apart.
So, you know.
This is really, really desperate.
It's stupid. I mean, again, this is going back to 2008. You can't erase or burn the movies. You know, I guess you could go after the distributors and tell them, don't air this anymore. But
yeah,
it's done. It's done.
Well,
Leave it alone.
It was 12 years ago, and I'm not saying that I think blackface is right, because I absolutely do not, and I don't think that it has a place in our society. But at the same time, this was a long time ago at this point, and it is what it is. We've moved on as a society within a decade, and this was a different time when this was made.
So let me ask you this, Dana. Let's say you turn Tropic Thunder on. Mm-hmm. I know Joe loves the movie.
I do.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Do you put it on now? Do you feel guilty if you laugh at what Robert Downey Jr.'s character does?
Here's the thing. I didn't like the movie to begin with.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not. I didn't think it was that funny.
Okay.
So, because I was really looking forward to it. I thought it was going to be a very funny movie, and I didn't really like it that much. There are some funny moments.
Sure.
But I didn't think it was that funny.
All the way beginning to end.
That said, I do think that the whole line that Robert Downey Jr. says, where he's a dude playing another dude, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think that line's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, do I feel guilty about laughing about that line?
Well, I mean, yeah, nowadays. Joe? What about you? You turn it on. You're going to feel guilty laughing at Robert Downey Jr.'s character now that we all know good and well that blackface is horrible. Do you feel bad laughing at it?
You know, no, I don't, because I am not racist in any way, shape, or form. I imitate people on the radio here. I imitate a Southern black preacher and Arnold and do funny. It's fun. It's out of it. He's not a racist guy. He wasn't doing that for racism. He's a sweet man who's overcome drugs. And why would you do that to him right
nobody
now?
In Hollywood, I don't think, at least with his magnitude, his caliber, no one has done what Robert Downey Jr.
Nobody has.
He's a nice person. There's no way the guy is a racist. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, and again, he was paid to do a role that was not written, at least I don't think it was written by him. But a lot of time actors, they sign up for stuff that was done or created by other people, and they like it. Yeah, they can say no to it. But again, it's not them. It's like, okay, I kind of see the funny of this. And at the time, they do it, and they make their money, and off you go.
Well, what I wanted to ask, and maybe I don't know, because I don't, you know, I don't see racism the way that most people do, but isn't this, they're lumping a lot of stuff under blackface right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, if I remember what blackface was, it was putting like straight black makeup on and making fun of black people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You danced around and you made fun of them as if they were beneath you.
You were basically making fun of the slaves. They were poor. They were dumb. And so they would do these skits that would travel around, and the white people would basically tease the black people.
It was horribly demeaning.
Yeah.
Horribly demeaning. That is absolutely the opposite of what he did in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
He did exactly what Dana said. He made a mockery of dressing as a different, skin color.
Very quickly, one of the things about blackface recently is that you are choosing to use a white actor instead of a colored actor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody's kind of upset about. So maybe what people are saying now is, instead of having Robert Downey Jr. play,
so people are pissed off that they didn't have Wesley Snipes.
They should have used
Denzel.
Yeah.
Yes, but he wasn't.
They would have still had to reverse done that, because I think at one point Robert Downey Jr. does not have the blackface makeup on.
Yeah, he leaves the movie as his white, and he's an Australian.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but
it was funny.
Yeah.
That's the point of the blackface movement, is that they want people to have more equal opportunity.
All right.
I want everyone to just be happy, for crying out loud.
I'll tell you what I want. I want someone to give Joey Kramer from Aerosmith a drumming job. We got to talk about that.
Yes.
So yesterday we talked about this big fight. Joey Kramer, he wanted to get a lawyer, okay, and he wanted to sue Aerosmith because Aerosmith said, after some sort of mysterious accident that happened to Joey Kramer, drummer of Aerosmith, which none of us know exactly what happened.
Oh, you still haven't found out what that was yet, huh?
No, we don't know what happened to him, but he had to rehabilitate, okay? And so they're going to have two awards, or one Lifetime Achievement Award, and then one other award they're going to do at the Grammys. So Aerosmith has to get ready to perform. So Joey Kramer had to rehab, and he sends out the tape telling the guys, hey, I'm getting better. Check me out drumming. Check out what I can do. You know, he's psh, 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 psh. And the guys in Aerosmith hear it, and they're like, You're not ready. You got to work harder, Joey. You're not good enough to do this show with us.
Can you imagine?
Somebody that's worked with them for 50 years.
50 years, yeah. So Joey Wild. Kramer's like, okay, I guess I'll go back down in the garage and I'll practice some more. So he practices some more. Psh, 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 you know, they send off the tape and Steven Tyler and Perry and all the guys, you know, Hamilton and all, they're all, nah, you still don't have it. You're not good enough to be on this show.
How ridiculous, man. First of all, that you've got to have someone film you playing and then you've got to send it to them.
And then they told Joey Kramer, hey, if you want to go to the Grammys with us and accept the awards with us, absolutely. But you can't play the drums when we play on stage.
Oh, it's just so terrible.
It's heart-wrenching.
It really is. It's demeaning as all get out.
And Joey Kramer said, you know what, guys? I've waited for you guys to go through rehab. I waited for you to have your hip replaced. Da-da-da-da-da. So he got a lawyer, and he said, I'm going to sue you guys. I'm going to force my way back into the band. So that did happen, and a judge looked at it, and a judge said, eh, there's nothing here, Joey.
Oh,
sorry.
Man, no way.
Now we get to this, okay? And this is according to TMZ.
What did this guy do?
I don't know, but the band seems as if they hate him.
Yeah.
Right now.
It looks that way.
So, according to TMZ, they got video from over the weekend, and it shows Joey Kramer. He shows up in L.A. at the Grammy rehearsal, okay? So, Aerosmith and the boys, they're all inside there. They're playing. They're getting ready to do their thing. And Joey Kramer shows up, and he's like, hey guys, I want to come in. Can I be in the band? I want to see what's going on. Security guards and others said, nope. You cannot come in here.
What? Whoa.
You are denied entry. The four others, your brotherhood, they're inside. They're getting ready for a show. But you're not the drummer right now because you're not good enough. You need to go home.
Stopped him at the door. He didn't even get to talk to him.
No, they came out and they talked to him. But they said, yeah, Joey, you got
to
go.
Listen to what security says. It's our decision kind of a deal.
Yeah. And Joey Kramer says he was given a rehearsal schedule from the band on January 18th. So he specifically flew to L.A. the next day. And then that's where the video picks up. And I guess the band waited until January 15th to tell him that you're not going to do this. So it's all this mixed communication. He shows up. He can't get in. And the band said, you can go on. And you can accept the awards, but you're not going to play. But the video shows Joey Kramer being told, no, you can't come in rehearsal. So that's where we are today.
So you can go on with us and accept the award. They're not going to block him from the stage.
Yeah. He just can't play the drums when they do their piece for the Grammys.
I mean, could he really be that bad at the drums? Or I mean, what is this?
I
wonder.
And here's the thing I asked the Aerosmith fans. Do you care if he's not as good as he used to be?
No.
I kind of don't.
I don't even know if I'd notice.
You want Steven Tyler to screech, and you want Joe Perry to play the guitar, and the other two guys, cool.
Well, I told Joe this yesterday, too, you guys. Has Joey Kramer ever cornered Steven Tyler and go, hey, can you sing Dream On the way you did back when it came out? Hey, Joe Perry, are your fingers as nimble and fast back when you did Walk This Way? Can you play that song as good as you did back when you wrote it? Because we're all getting older. So I think that he needs to hold the other's feet to the fire and say, hey, are you guys as good as you were?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's a solid ask. Well, you know Steven Tyler's not.
I mean, they're probably all, you know, slowly aging.
Sure.
You know, and they're not as good, but I think that that's what is making this more of a cop-out for the rest of the band. That's why Joey Kramer they want him out.
Yeah.
So they're using this as a cop-out, the only way they can really do it at this point.
He had to have done something. There's something that we don't know about.
Yeah, there is.
There has to be.
And a rep for Aerosmith told TMZ that the band will not be commenting as they consider this a family matter.
It's a
family matter.
But you're going to snub your brother from getting his 50-year award.
Yeah, so your mom comes home, and you're in the house, and she's knocking on the door, but you don't want to let her in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or your dad comes home from a long day of work and wants to come in the house and, you know, sit back in the recliner, but you don't open the door. And you tell dad, no, you got it. It's not a family matter. This is like rock and roll baby bull crap.
It's just, I mean, if I do anything for 50 years, I'd like it. If I live for 50 years, yeah, I'd like an award given to me.
And you know what? You know what, Joe? If, in fact, you can make it, we'll have Dana. She'll make you like a little star with a little like award thing. We'll give it to you.
I almost feel like I've earned it.
Yeah.
You know?
The sad thing is, Dana, is you know that you'll make that award, and we'll have to put that inside Joe's casket.
I will have to see on my own face.
Here's Modern English. We got 93 minutes. That gives me an idea for a Bon Jovi jumble song tomorrow. We have not used Blaze of Glory yet, or have we? Hmm.
I don't know.
93 minutes, non-stop, commercial-free. Dana, she put up today's adorable adoptable courtesy of Front Street. Her name is Topaz, and Dana's got the code. All the information, go to the Dog and Joe Show Facebook page, click the link, and you can take her home today. Chipped, vaccinated, she's already spayed and ready to go to a new home. She's a how do you say it, a Kalahula.
Kalahula.
She is cool. Definitely cool. Never seen one of those before.
Yeah, watch the video, check her out. Very, very sweet young lady, and she could use a home. So you can go down to Front Street today, adopt her, and then back tomorrow with us. We'll do another Bon Jovi jumble. We'll do some other stuff. Oh, on podcast, we talked to Paul Reiser today.
Yeah.
He swung by. Dana will have those waiting for you. And then what else tomorrow? Oh, Friday! Yeah, a little PBR weekend we've got going on tomorrow.
Yeah, buddy.
That's going to be so much fun, dude. We get to go down. I love the PBR. I love the Bulls, the shoot tour. The entire thing is such a fun night for me.
Dana, did Joe say at one point this week that he was thinking about wearing boots and a cowboy hat?
Well, he did last year, so I would say that he probably did say that.
You didn't wear boots last year.
No, I didn't have me a pair yet.
Oh, you were looking for them.
Do you have a pair now?
Maybe.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Maybe
I do,
and maybe I don't.
Boots scoot yucky.
Yeah, yeah. I might get out there and do some boot kicking.
Boot kicking.
Boot clicking.
Whoa. Mm. Yeah.
I could dance.
Well, prove it.
With boots on.
Yeah. You know what I'd do is, if I were you and I was going to wear boots to PBR, I'd pair them up with a nice pair of shorts. I'd like to see Joe. He in a pair of boots and shorts. Shorts.
Why'd you wear those shorts? Dangle, you
want to do a little new boot goofing in them?
Yeah, wear the shorts you wore at the Harley dealership with your boots.
Shorts. You ain't allowed wearing stuff like that around those kind of men.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, they're like, oh my goodness, it's a Brokeback edition of PBR. Welcome to Sacramento.
That's reserved for in the ring or their ladies. That's it.
Here's the thing. You go out there and you start running around, I don't even think the Bulls would gore you.
No, that's frightening. Yep.
But we are going out to PBR tomorrow, so tomorrow's Friday. Dana, will you be donning any cowgirl attire?
You know what? I do have a pair of cowboy boots that I have not worn ever.
Oh man.
I might have to wear them then.
You should.
Yeah. Okay. That or let Joe borrow them. They might be big on them.
Not if I put it on extra socks.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow, it is Friday. A bunch of other stuff planned. So have a fantastic Thursday. Please go to the Dog and Joe Show Facebook page and look at Topaz and listen to the podcast. Monica Lozin next. More cash coming up in 40 minutes for the blatant bribe worth $1,000. We're done.
Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us today. Enjoy your afternoon, and we will talk to you in the morning. Play nice.